You know, his producer is down here with one of the parabolic mics. He almost got trampled last week in the excitement of that victory.
Oh, really? What's that got to do with Gordon Libby?
Well, he almost didn't have Cameron for the show. We might not be able to do the show without him.
Darling guy, Larry, what do you want me to answer now?
John, baby, how's it going?
I have not been notified yet about this investigation. Mr. Speaker, and he just left his floor, and I asked him to say he has handled this situation as a disgrace. As a disgrace.
There's no way that you could come from my loins. As soon as I get home, the first thing I'm going to do is punch your mama in the mouth.
Everybody keep cool.
Stay cool.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike show. They'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Barely got all those tapes in today.
Yeah, baby.
And just a roll call that I'm here, Mike's here, with Buzz, Robbie.
Present.
Phil.
And good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. High Twist, High Strung, Charlie Stossel, and all the ships at sea. Now, listen, I don't know about you all, but I really enjoyed their performances as Reuben and Danny Partridge last Saturday night.
Thank you.
It's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Meara.
Thank you very much.
Natural to us, Robbie.
Thank you for letting me have the role of Danny.
That's okay.
Danny, are you my friend?
Hello, and thank you for listening. This is the Don and Mike Show. We do it from the studios radio station WJFK in Washington, D.C., and we're carried via the Westwood One Network, the world's number one syndicator.
Oh, yes.
Radio programs, Danny.
Very good, Danny. Would they like to mow my lawn?
Billy? Have you met Danny?
Danny, Billy.
I gotta go through the lineup, of course. It's Ken, Jeremy, Big Daddy Mel, Donald Ephraim, who would represent a monkey. That's right.
Yes, nice to speak to the monkey, please.
That's right. Here he is to my left and to your right. I can't tell you how many times Buzz stops me in the hall and he says, hey, listen, every day, will you introduce me? How come it's always something goofy? It's always Buzz the atheist or Buzz the Siffy guy.
Right.
So, Buzz, hold on, let me see. I don't know, your microphone.
Oh, there you go.
Hi.
Hello there.
Buzz?
Yes.
Are you ready for a custom intro?
Yeah, that'd be great.
That we will play every day at this time. It's brief, 4 seconds.
Okay.
But I think you'll take it.
Okay.
You'll take it in the sense that it's given.
I think I'm ready.
Here is our friend, Guy Birdley.
You got bad breath, Buzz. Bad breath.
Where did you find that?
I asked the same question when I heard it. Where did that come from?
From some 1940s movie.
You got bad breath, Buzz. Bad breath.
Now, listen, everybody wants a tape. Now, right. You've got a tape.
There you go. Absolutely.
There is our friend, Guy Friendly, right there. Today is Monday. It is November 15. Telephone number 1-877-365-3636. Today's show will be gigantic. This whole week will be gigantic.
This is a huge week for the show.
Let me start the trolling right now.
Oh, yes.
Because, you know, we do have a big show coming up this Wednesday.
It's time for Don and Mike to play a favorite game.
Biggest strip trivia ever.
Frontal Radio, Unity Strip Trivia by name.
Big, big trip.
Strip Trivia.
Big prize.
Don and Mike. And a room full of exhibitionists.
Want to win some cash. For a trip to Aruba?
Yes, on Wednesday's episode, we're playing Strip Trivia, Thanksgiving edition.
Yes.
And the winner gets a free vacation to Aruba.
I have said this again and again and again, but this is really one of the best all-time prizes for Strip Trivia. This is a big-time prize right here.
We will start trolling for girls on today's show.
Hey,
meaning?
Yeah, that means you'll stop at anything.
At any point, when a girl calls the show and wants to play strip trivia, we will stop, we'll drop drawers, and we'll take the call at 1-877-365-3636. Please, fellas, You don't even have to worry about calling until tomorrow's episode, fellas.
Absolutely. And I am expecting a very good turnout for this strip
trivia. Sure. Well, it's a great prize.
Sure.
It's been about 3 months since we've played strip trivia.
Mm-hmm.
So Wednesday, we'll be playing the game. Girls, start calling now. Rockhead, as soon as girls call, put them right through, and we will take your calls. Okay? So when we get the girl situation straightened out, we will be, get to the guys.
Right.
Also this week on the show, Don Knotts coming in on Wednesday. Barney Fife.
Boo!
We're pretty jacked about that.
Yeah.
We have a Las Vegas-style show coming up this Thursday night. We'll be at the Baja Beach Club in Baltimore with raunchy, X-rated fun.
Better get there now.
Now, today on the show, Leah Remini is going to be calling for some counseling because she's going on the Craig Kilborn TV show tonight.
What is the name of that show?
It is the...
The Late Late Show.
The Dumb Dumb Show.
Right.
It's, frankly, it's not a great show.
The Late Late Show with Craig Kilborn.
But Leah has graciously accepted our invitation to mention us by name tonight.
Very good.
On that show. And, of course, she's uptight just like she was before in the Letterman show. So
not quite as, but she's a little uptight.
Sure. Roy Hill talked to her earlier today and said that she's very manic already.
Is it because of Craig Kilborn himself? Is that the reason?
Just because she's going to be on a talk show.
Mm-hmm. He seemed like a pretty cool guy when we interviewed him. He seemed pretty down to earth.
So we liked him fine. But then again, you know, Mike, not everybody gets along as well with people as you and I do.
Yeah. The most people aren't people like we are.
Right, we are.
People persons.
So Leah's calling in for some counseling. And at that point when she calls in today, I'm going to try to get her to bring a cell phone while she's actually taping the show to put the cell phone in her pocket.
Right.
There are only two things that could go wrong with that plan. First, well, she might say no, like she did about Letterman.
First.
And second, I think they don't even tape that show until after we're off the air, since they do that one out on the left coast.
They actually do it later in the day there.
Yeah, later in the day. Still early in the day, West Coast time, but
right.
Later in the day for us. So I don't know if
so
that'll...
They do about 5:30, right? Yeah. Same as Letterman, which means be about 8:30 our time.
Yeah, right. So we probably won't get the actual sound before recording the show, but we'll walk her through it today. And
that's tonight, right? That's going to be rebroadcast tonight. So if she says our name...
Tonight we will be playing the tape at this time on tomorrow's show.
Excellent.
Cool. I've got a ton of weekend crap to tell you about, but before we do any of that, I want to ask anybody out there, since JFK Jr. Went swimming, this magazine, George, okay, they still publish this stupid magazine.
Yeah, I subscribe to that. Right. Yes,
do
it's
you
got
really?
Arnold on the this month's cover.
Okay, well, do you have the new issue that has an article about the movie...
What is the name of that stupid movie?
The Insider, the 60 Minutes movie?
I haven't looked at my copy yet, but I mean, I just saw Arnold, and I didn't see it. It probably has that in it.
Okay, well, we received this letter, and I don't know if this is, like, doctored, because as Larry King said, you can doctor things.
You can doctor anything.
You can doctor articles, but this does look to be legitimate from page number 131 of the new copy of George Magazine.
Okay.
It is an article where they are talking to Lowell Bergman, who is the guy who, in the movie The Insider, is played by Al Pacino.
Okay.
So he's the
producer
guy,
for 60 Minutes.
Guy that works for 60 Minutes. And the quote is, from this guy, talking about the movie The Insider. If this movie wins some Oscars, the legend of Lowell is going to outdo the legend of Don and Mike. Now, other than you and me, I cannot think of any other guys known as Don and Mike.
I hate to burst your bubble, but it's a pretty...
Yeah. Oh, you mean Don Hewitt and Mike Wallace?
Yeah.
Okay, now I had the same thought also.
Oh,
however,
that's got to be what it is.
However, you got to admit, there's an outside chance that it could be us.
You know something? No, there is
an outside chance.
But because he's talking about the 60 Minutes family, there could be.
But just look at the quote away from the article. If you took the quote,
take the quote
totally out of context, and you see, quote, as reported in the November issue of George Magazine, if this movie wins some Oscars, the legend of Lowell is going to outdo the legend of Don and Mike.
We can take that.
I think we get that to our publicist.
Oh, I agree with that.
We send
That's
it
like
out.
Anything, you know, that, you know. When they have those movie reviewers and they excerpt them and they put the good part in,
because it sure doesn't say, you know,
sure,
Don Hewitt and Mike
Give
Wallace.
Give me the sentence again, because I'll figure out exactly how to take it out of context.
If this movie wins some Oscars, the legend of Lowell is going to outdo the legend of Don and Mike. That is a quote.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how we worked that into a press release, but,
that's true.
You know, all I know is, boom,
George Magazine calls Don and Mike legends.
That's how they steal it. That's yeah, how they do it.
You got it.
Buzz Burbank with the thinking cap on. That is exactly. George Magazine calls Don and Mike legends.
Thank you, Buzz.
You got bad breath, Buzz. Bad breath.
Hey, Buzz, I don't want to scoop you on your tabloid news show later today, but speaking of JFK Jr., do you have that crap that was in the paper about him this weekend?
Yes, I do, as a matter of fact.
Oh, my God.
Anything big?
Oh, just that he and his wife hadn't been banging each other for 18 months. That
really?
He had kicked her out of the apartment and that she had hired a private eye to follow him around.
Man.
They supposedly had a drug problem.
Well, what did they have to say about that?
Oh, that's right. They're dead.
The London Daily Mail said that not only had they not slept together for the last 18 months, but that there was speculation that a fight between John F. Kennedy Jr. and Carolyn Bessette Kennedy it may have been what caused the crash.
How kooky is that?
That is such crap. Man.
It's great. Of course
crap.
It is. Of course.
That is great. That, you know,
totally unsubstantiated because, you know, what are you going to do?
Of right.
You're going to swim down to the bottom of the ocean and find the details?
Sure, of course. And aren't the London tabloids worse than ours? I that's what I've always heard.
Well, they have pictures of naked girls, Mike.
On page three.
On page three.
This was the London Daily Mail. They sort of run hot and cold as far as credibility goes.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was reading about it over the weekend. All kinds of stuff like that. For 18 months, they had slept together.
You know what amazes me also is that Egypt Air thing, and they couldn't find out, they haven't found anything out with the cockpit voice recorder.
Not really, no.
I mean, you would think when a plane is going down at a 40 degree angle that someone might be saying, oh, S.
Yeah. Hey, you know what I thought was goofy when they showed the videotape on TV of them taking the box out. And it's not a black...
But the robot bringing it up?
Yeah, it's not a black box. It's actually a red box.
Orange, they glow orange.
It says on it, flight recorder.
Right.
The first thing they did, they take this damn thing out of the water. The first thing they did was get this big Tupperware container full of water.
Right.
And put it back into a thing full of water.
They do that so it doesn't dry out too quickly, which could damage the tape.
Well, you see, I guess that's why I'm not in charge of the investigation. Because the first thing I would say is...
You drop it open with a screwdriver, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
You'd have your...
Give me a boombox.
You'd have your Radio Shack tape recorder.
Let's pop it in right now and hear what it says.
It drives me nuts when they come out and they've got... How good are these recorders when they say they only get to a certain point? And it seems to me that they ought to have more information.
It usually gets the last 30 minutes before something catastrophic happens. That's what this got. And although most of the 30 minutes is just the two guys talking like friends about flying the airplane.
Hey,
and
how you doing, man?
Not until the last minute and a half that they're discussing a problem that gets worse and worse and worse. And they never specify for our ears what the problem is.
Now, why don't they make the whole plane out of the stuff that they make that box out of? I mean, I'm serious about that.
Right?
I swear to God, because they pulled the box out. Now, this plane crashed. No bodies, okay?
So right.
Everybody got torn into a million pieces. Mm-hmm. The boats are out there. The plane's in a gazillion pieces.
Right.
But they pulled this flight recorder box out.
It's got a dent in it, but that's about
it. It looks like a Partridge Family lunchbox. The thing looks absolutely brand new.
I don't get that either.
No, did you watch the Partridge Family show on the weekend?
I didn't have the pleasure.
Okay. This would be a testament to how pathetic I am. I taped it because Saturday night I was out doing all the stuff for my son's homecoming.
All right.
So I taped it and actually watched it last night.
And
it was, without a doubt, the biggest piece of garbage I've ever seen. And I'll tell you why. Because the entire show, the history of the Partridge Family, is done from the perspective of Danny Bonaducci.
Oh, it's Danny Bonaducci. Yes. Shocker.
It's Danny Bonaducci who is narrating. Danny Bonaducci, who is the one who is alleging that all this bad stuff happened to everybody else on the show.
Did they use the real voice of Danny Bonaducci?
No, it was a fake voice.
Okay.
But he was given a credit at the end where they say he was like the executive producer. And apparently it was his notes that they used to write this thing. And you can see, if I'm David Cassidy, if I'm Lori Partridge, hell, if I was a little kid that was playing the drums, if I'm Reuben Kincaid, I'm pissed. Because everybody on the show was made out to be an a-hole.
Except for Danny?
Except for Danny. And one scene in particular.
And you know, Danny was probably the biggest a-hole of the group.
He's at home, okay? And he's sitting around his house, and his mom and dad are there. And his dad comes out of the kitchen. And his dad, of course, is resentful of the fact that his son is a television star.
Of course, because they're Danny's notes.
So the dad comes around the corner and he goes, "Hey, everybody, the Bonaduccis are having dinner tonight. I'm making my special pasta. We're all going to sit around and have dinner together tonight." Danny and his mom look at each other for a second. And Danny says, "I can't. I have to work." And the dad goes, "You have to work. My son has to work. And where'd you get that dress?
Mary talks to the mom.
Is that a new dress?
She goes, yes, it's lovely. I bought it out of Danny's salary.
And Danny says, Mom, we really have to go to the studio. I have a run-through tonight. Then the dad says, as long as I'm the head of the Bonaducci house, we do what I say, and we're all having dinner in this house tonight. Then Danny says, well, I want you to remember that I'm paying the mortgage payments on this house right now. And then the next scene is...
Oh, my God.
The next scene is Danny Bonaducci on the set of the Partridge Family with a black eye.
Oh, because, God.
Because his dad popped him in the eye. But he's such a great kid.
Sure.
When they come over and they see he's got a black eye, and they go, what happened, Danny? He goes, oh, I was horsing around with my friends, and I fell into a wall.
Yeah, because he's the perfect kid.
Right.
Right. And these are Danny's notes.
You should have seen it, man. Should have. You see it, Robbie?
Yeah, could you believe what a hero they made Reuben out to be?
Oh, yeah, the guy Reuben Kincaid. Like Dave Madden.
Guy in America.
Right, right.
And also, when it was Shirley Jones's idea, we've got to keep Danny out of his own house.
Oh, right. Yeah,
who's going to let Danny go to the beach for a weekend with Reuben Kincaid and not wonder what the hell is going on?
because Danny's parents are supposedly so abusive to him
that Danny has to get out of the house, and the only person he can stay with is Reuben.
They have a meeting, and Shirley Jones says, somebody has to take him this weekend. I can't because I'm busy. Then David Cassidy says, well, I'm doing concerts. I can't take him. Mm-hmm. Then Lori Partridge says, well, I'm doing a shoot for 17 Magazine. I can't take him. And then Reuben Kincaid says, well, all right.
I'll take him.
I'll take him.
Oh,
I mean, it was the most effed up thing I've ever seen. It's fantastic.
Pretty amazing. And they're all, except for Danny, made out to be kind of weenies.
Yeah, except for Shirley Jones.
Shirley Jones made out to be okay?
Made to be like Danny Bonaducci's pseudo-second mother.
Okay. I'd be interested. I mean, we haven't heard a lot of press on this as far as advance press about
and
how
rightly,
the cast members might feel about it.
And rightly so. It just sucked. Hold on. Let's break into the show for this bulletin. Hello, Jennifer.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hi there.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We are fine.
Okay. I'm calling in because me and my two girlfriends are doing a strip trivia on Wednesday.
Oh, you are?
Yes, we are.
You are?
Really? All three of you?
All three of us, yeah. We're roommates.
Three? So you mean we're actually signing up three girls at once right now?
Yep, exactly.
What are the other roommates' names, Jennifer?
There's Mandy and Melissa.
Mandy and Melissa.
Yes.
And who are the celebrities that you girls think you most resemble?
I would say for myself a tie between Sandra Bullock and Jennifer Aniston.
All right, that works. Okay. I'm just going to put down Jennifer Aniston because we get a lot of Sandra Bullock.
What about What about the other girls?
Melissa looks a lot like Cameron Diaz.
Really? Mm. So you girls are not dogs, huh?
I wouldn't say we're dogs, no.
And what about the third girl?
The third girl looks like Michelle Pfeiffer.
Categorize this as...
I'm waiting for that phone to hang up in a second.
Wait, under the category of too good to believe.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Well, I don't know.
So are you all... I mean, you're mentioning hottie women here. Are you all hotties?
Oh, we're not bad, I would have to say. I'm not bragging, but...
That's okay. You can brag. If you're hot, brag.
All right.
You'll have to see you on Wednesday, though, huh?
Okay, I guess we'll see you Wednesday.
That'll be Jennifer, Mandy, and Melissa.
Yep.
Hold on, please.
Okay.
All right, well, That's the first time we've ever had three girls at once.
I hate to be so cynical on Monday.
Hello,
I hope they do show up.
Ann.
Yeah.
Hello, Ann.
Hi.
This is not Ann the Defiant Butch Lesbian, is it?
No, it's not.
A different Ann. Hello, Ann.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you doing?
We're doing great, thank you.
Okay, well, I would like to play strip trivia on Wednesday.
Would you now?
You would.
I would.
Where are you calling from, Ann?
Fairfax.
Who is the celebrity that you think you most resemble?
Probably Carrie Russell from Felicity.
She's recently cut her hair, hasn't she?
Long hair, though.
Yeah, long hair. Okay, excellent.
Carrie Russell.
Okay. Excellent. Okay, good. We'll see you Wednesday.
Okay, great.
Hold on a second, please.
Okay.
Bingo, right out of the chute, we got four contestants for strip trivia.
Four girls right there. Now, here's Lynn. Lynn.
Hi.
Lynn, you calling for strip trivia, too?
No. You wouldn't want me for strip trivia.
Oh, okay. Really?
Yeah, you'd enjoy my tattoos too much.
I'd enjoy your tattoos.
Uh-huh.
Really? Are you heavily tattooed like a circus lady?
No. I just have a couple tattoos and flowers across my stomach.
You do? Then you'd be perfect for strip trivia.
Sure.
No, there's more stomach than you would want to see.
Oh, really? Okay, all right. Well, Lynn, we appreciate the honesty. Well, listen, what can we do for you then, Lynn?
I called about the Partridge Family movie.
Yeah?
Did you notice how Danny's black eye kept switching sides?
Oh, you know what? You're absolutely right. At one point when he was sitting in the makeup chair, it was on the left side. And then in the next scene, it was on the right. You are absolutely correct. There's no quality control on that show.
You know, I thought the same thing, but then Carrie said to me that that's because when they saw him in the makeup chair, he was looking in the mirror. And that's why it was.
Oh, really?
Because Ruben came up behind him. Hero Dave Madden. So they're actually, they bet it.
All right, here's your answer. Thank you, Lynn.
Thanks.
Thank
Bye.
You. Bye. Here is Dawn. Hello, Dawn.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, we're doing great, thank you.
Okay, well, I'd like to play strip trivia on Wednesday.
You know, I'd just like to say, knock on Formica.
Pretty darn good. Right out of the chute, we've got these people that are calling in.
That normally we have to spend at least a day or two pimping and trolling like the vermin that we are attract a sizable amount of girls. And this would be girl number five.
Right? Five girls already.
Sounds good to me.
Dawn, where are you from?
Actually, I'm from Fredericksburg. And I work in the Tysons area.
And who is the celebrity you think you most resemble?
Well, I get told quite a few different celebrities, but mainly mixed between Helen Hunt and, I hate to say, Laura Dern.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm a big Helen Hunt fan. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it seems like whoever is the popular blonde at the time seems to be the one that everybody says I look like.
You're a tall, willowy blonde.
That's it. Thank you. Yes, I am.
Very good. Laura Dern's kind of mannish looking.
Yeah, she's a little skinny.
Mannish about Helen Hunt, though.
I'll tell you, I think Laura Dern's a sexy lady.
Yeah,
a very sexy lady.
Oh, she's had her moments.
Sexy lady.
Sexy lady.
Okay, hold the line, please, Dawn. We'll see you Wednesday.
Okay, great.
And her father, Bruce Dern, is even sexier.
Bruce, baby.
That's good, okay, Laura.
One of our pimps, I mean producers, will talk to you, Dawn. And that would be five girls already.
Five girls. Beautiful girls. Carrie Russell, Jennifer Aniston, Michelle Pfeiffer, Cameron Diaz, and Laura Dern and Helen Hunt.
Yeah, that's good. Well,
bring on the lovelies.
The doors are still open, and we are still waiting for your call. So, girls, keep calling. We'll take as many as we possibly can. Want to make this Wednesday's strip trivia the best ever.
Fantastic.
Okay, before I get to the weekend stuff. Oh, hold on a second.
Wow, this is great.
Hello. Ann.
Hello.
It's another Ann.
Another Ann?
Yes.
Ann, where are you calling from?
Arlington. I actually was in there for the Halloween show.
Oh, you were here for the Trick or Teach show?
The Redhead?
The Redhead. Mike, I don't remember. I don't remember these girls since I was wearing the blindfold.
I believe I do remember the Redhead. You were the Redhead, you were the pretty Redhead.
Blue shirt?
Yeah, we reacted very positively when you came in here, if I remember correctly.
Not too shabby.
Yeah. Who is the celebrity that he's...
You had to be blindfolded, but I remember.
Mike is making some kind of motions with his hands.
Yes, very, very nice.
To indicate...
Very nice body.
A sizable bounty.
Absolutive lamente.
Who is the celebrity you think you most resemble, Ann?
I've been told, a cross between Nicole Kidman and Julia Roberts.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, good. See you Wednesday.
Okay.
Hold on, please.
Sure.
Oh, listen, I don't think you're making it too easy, folks.
Yeah, and in that case, I remember that's when you had the blindfold on, but
right.
it was worth it. As a matter of fact, of all the contestants in the Halloween contest,
yeah,
she was the best.
Oh, was she really?
Yes, she was.
What color underwear did she have on?
I don't remember.
Buzzy?
I don't remember.
You know,
you got bad breath, fellas.
Okay.
I don't remember the underwear either, as a matter of fact.
I don't. I think it might have been a floral pattern.
Because, you know, that's the only way that I can distinguish the girls from remembering was by the underwear. Because as soon as more than underwear came off, I had to put the blindfold back on.
Well, I'll tell you right now, I'll make sure that I specifically identify her to you, because then you'll feel like there's a little justice here, you know, that you didn't. You had the blindfold on the first time. You won't have it on Thursday.
Yeah, God bless America. Okay, great. Looks good for strip trivia.
Yes, it does.
I tell you, I'm certainly at this point not backing out of my bet with Charlie Stossel.
Okay.
I am going to get my head shaved, but I would just like to wait until tomorrow, until he calls in, to tell me if I can keep my beard or not.
Is that the deadline for him talking about the beard is tomorrow?
Well, he said he would call by tomorrow to give me the heads up after he talks to his movie friends.
Right.
You know, and I'm sure that they're going to tell him, just screw it, that I should go ahead and shave it. Because, frankly, I'm starting to get a little uptight about this.
Sure. And well, it's only natural for you to do
And
that.
I'm thinking, boy, you know, would I rather, you know, just put it off until January?
Right.
Or get it done Friday? I keep coming back to, listen, just get it done, get it over, get it out of the way. I spent most of the weekend standing in front of a mirror with my hands like this on the top
Take
of my head.
Take your headphones off and do that. Let me see how you're going to look without the hair.
I'm going to look retarded. This is how I'm going to look. with no hair. Completely bald.
I don't think you're going to look as bad as that.
I think it's going to be awful.
No, I don't. I'll tell you why, because, you know...
It's going to be like Samson without his hair. It's
you have,
I'm not going to be able to do the show on Monday with no hair.
You've had that super, buzz cut before. And it's just one step further than that. But I mean, I've seen your head round.
But there is a huge difference, though, between a close-cropped crew cut...
Right.
...and an actual shaved head. Not to mention the fact I spent most of the weekend feeling my head... I'm positive I have, like, bumps and mold.
Everybody does.
Everybody does.
Well,
I wouldn't freak out about
it. It's going to be fuggly. And I think, you know, I keep wavering back and forth and back and forth. And my family has urged me just to get it over with.
Well, yeah. And
as soon as possible.
That's what you kind of wanted to do last week.
And, yeah. And I just want to know what Charlie says about the beard.
Mm-hmm.
That if Charlie... says, for sure I can keep the beard. And I'm positive. Listen, either way, Friday will probably be a go. But I just want to give myself just that much wiggle room on it.
So if he tells you he wants the beard taken too, you might...
I might wait till January.
Okay.
But on the other hand, I also know that we've already started to promote this.
Yes.
As being a part of Friday's show.
Yeah, but I like the fact that you're wavering because I think it adds suspense to it. You know, it adds total suspense.
Well, frankly, I really didn't know what I was getting into when I made this bet with Charlie. I've had to think about it a lot over the weekend.
Right.
I really don't know what the F I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
This could be maybe one of my worst all-time decisions. Because this is going to be... I watched The Matrix, part of The Matrix over the weekend.
Which he has, like, no eyebrows and
stuff. Yeah. And I'm certainly no Keanu Reeves, okay?
Right.
I mean, he's the winner of that beauty contest.
The eyebrows play a big part of that.
Well, you know, even Lawrence Fishburne has a shaved head.
Right.
And while generally a black guy looks better with a shaved head than a white guy...
I agree with you.
I looked at both of those guys and I thought, you know what?
Right.
They both need hair, man. Lawrence Fishburne needs hair.
Right.
Keanu Reeves needs hair. And now I'm going to be a member of that club.
You might like it, though.
No, absolutely no way.
You don't think so?
No. I'm so dreading this.
I must admit that you are a little more freaked out than I expected you would be.
Yeah, well, it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But
I don't think you're going to look as bad as you think you're going
to
look.
You were flipped out, if you remember, when you had to dye your hair blonde.
Yes.
And that was only dyed for one day, and you could get it dyed back the next day.
Right.
If this was a one-day thing, I don't think I'd be flipped out about it.
That's true.
I'm going to wake up on Saturday morning...
And have to wait like 6 months before it comes back
in. Yeah, it's going to be absolutely the same way.
Mm.
And I'm already starting to think about, besides the fact that, you know, there's this dinner party Friday night.
Right.
That we're supposed to go to.
Mm-hmm.
So I figured that, all right, I'll get past that. But then there's the Redskins game on Sunday. It's a home game at the stadium.
Yeah, but you're always going to have those events.
Well,
you're going to have them
after January, based on the way the Redskins have been playing, there's not a chance they're going to make the playoffs.
Right.
So I'm also thinking that if I wait till January, at least I cut down on my opportunities to go out and be seen in public like
this. That's true. Yeah.
You know, then I can pretty much just hide in the house for the next 2 months until my hair grows.
So let me get this straight. If he tells you you can keep the beard, then you're more likely to do it Friday.
If he says, I'm making you this statement now. If he says I can keep the beard, I will 100% commit to doing it on Friday.
If he says he wants the beard taken...
Then I'm going to have to just think about it. But most likely...
And if he says he wants the beard taken and you postpone it till January when we come back, that would be the day after we come back from our vacation.
Right, but...
You will take everything off at that point.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. It's up to Stossel. And probably, to be honest with you, either way, I'll probably just bite the bullet and get it done on Friday.
Really?
Probably so. But
I think he might be nice because he demonstrated how fearful he is about this. He really feels that, even though I know you would never do that, he feels that you will hurt him.
Fire him
in some way. And you will make something happen to him very evil. That's the way.
I wish I had that power, Mike. I truly do. I truly, truly do. You know what? I'll give that son of a bitch credit on one thing. He was absolutely right about that movie Dogma. If anything, Charlie Stossel undersold,
really,
the movie Dogma. I went to see this movie. My son and
Charlie raved about this, and Don, who was in the office, raving about it to me.
Bart and I went to see this movie on Saturday afternoon, and I'm telling you, this is the best movie that I have seen in... I mean, it's not a comedy like There's Something About Mary, okay?
Right.
But a movie that's funny and touching and has a great underlying message, and is the type of movie, when you go to see it, when you laugh out loud... People turn and look at you because
it's all edgy stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
It's all avant-garde.
I mean, I like that.
I love this movie, Dogma.
Cool.
I mean, I don't know. How did this movie do over the weekend? Anybody see it, Buzz?
Yeah, it came in, I believe it debuted in third place. Let me double check that.
That's a son of a bitch of a movie. I'm telling you, that Dogma is a smash, and you should go see it. I'm pointing you, Mike. You should go see it As soon as you can, so we can talk about it.
Wednesday night. I'm really excited about going to see it.
As soon as you can, so we can talk about it.
I wish I'd seen it, I wish I'd seen it yesterday afternoon.
I'm dying to talk about it tonight. I'm dying to tell you who God is.
Really?
But I won't.
I'm dying to tell you about the movie I saw.
What movie did you see?
Pokemon. Jesus Christ.
I'm betting that I had a better time at the theater than you did.
Well, we went with the 4-year-old and the 2-year-old, Elizabeth and Catherine, and I actually didn't see all of Pokemon because at a certain point they run, you know, they talk about this movie that it's actually a 20-minute cartoon before the movie starts.
Right.
And the 20-minute cartoon, I am not familiar with it. I haven't been paying attention to the Pokemon phenomenon. And they actually had this 20-minute cartoon that made no sense to me.
Well, you're not four, you're not two.
I totally didn't get it. I felt like I was watching a foreign film. Wow. I thought when it's like, yeah, Pokemon, we'll catch you. So I sit through this, and then they start with the hyper-violent beginning of Pokemon. At one point, I'm looking at Elizabeth, and I'm like, I'm trying to see something out of this movie, something that's got something to it,
but didn't you like
redeeming quality at all?
Didn't you like any crap when you were a kid?
Sure, I liked crap when I was a kid. But Elizabeth was running around, so she had the attention span for that kind of movie. So I pull her out, and there's a bookstore next to the movie theater. We went over and read kids' books for a while. Then we went back in, and then when we got back in, apparently the plot had developed that what it is in a nutshell is Pokemons and their clones doing battle because man has created this Pokemon clone that is very evil, Mewtwo, and it's just. Yeah, but it had a little message, and the message was, you shouldn't fight.
Buy the toys.
You shouldn't fight. Buy the toys, and you shouldn't fight. And at least there was something in there at the end that was just kind of a nice message. And apparently my wife tells me that they always have this kind of moral to the story. So even though I don't understand it, it's not totally unredeemable that this Pokemon phenomenon. But the animation, and you like Speed. See, I didn't like Speed Racer when I was a kid.
I thought Speed Racer was cool.
I hated the thing where,
the mouse. The mouth never moves quite right. The eyes blink different on Japanese.
A lot of
animation.
The camera panning up, with the solid thing in it. It's just the mouths don't move. The fighting is just like.
Oh,
like this.
You know where there was fighting? Was at the theater where we went to see Dogma on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
There were huge lines outside, and when we walked up, I thought, oh crap, everybody's going to see this movie. No, it was the Pokemon thing.
Yeah, the phenomenon just made a killing over the
weekend. There were moms and dads that were pissed off because they had signs up that said, I guess you were supposed to get some free card or something
right.
When you went to the movie.
I didn't know about that. Really?
I
didn't get one.
They had these cheap handmade signs up
right.
That said, sorry, we are out of the free cards. So you had, I'm trying to figure out why we're waiting in line for 20 minutes.
It must be the collector's card.
To buy our tickets to Dogma. And the reason is that every white trash parent, present company excluded.
Right, but I know you're talking
that goes up to the window, they wanted to debate the idiot behind the glass about why they didn't have cards, even though they had signs up everywhere saying, we don't have the cards. So every person would go, I'd like four for Pokemon. Where are my cards? And then you'd hear, I'm sorry, ran out of cards last night's show. The signs are up. We want the cards. My kids want the cards. Mommy, we want the cards. We want the cards. Where are my cards? Can you step to the right, please? Where's my cards? I mean, this was repeated.
Right.
Time and time again.
I didn't see any of the evidence of the cards thing. All I did was, actually, when I go into a theater like that and you hear the matinee crowd, I love that. And I'm aware already that someday that's going to be something that I'm going to miss in my life because it's so cute when you hear that the previews come on and then the screen gets dark and you hear that. It sounds like you're in a little chicken hut because you hear all these voices going like that. And there's nothing that duplicates the sound of a kid's matinee. And that moment it never bothers me. That guy at the movie that I went to with my wife last week going, ha, 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 that I can't stand. But the little kids' voices, it cracks me up when you're in a theater with all these little kids. But it was so loud. It was so loud. There was so much going on.
We could hear the kids in the theater next door. In quiet moments in Dogma,
right?
You could hear kids screaming in the theater next door. Oh, we got trivia calls. I'll tell you one last thing about Dogma, to tell you what a great movie it is.
Yes, I'm dying to go see it.
Bart and I counted. 8 people got up and walked out during the movie.
Oh, controversial.
And they were all old people.
Ah, interesting.
It just shows you, that's a good movie.
Yeah.
One guy walked out with 5 minutes. 5 minutes went by in the movie. Guy gets up and walks out.
Enough of this crap.
Yeah. And we heard him say to his wife,
this isn't funny.
Because when he first got up, I said to Bart, look, there's the first people leaving. He said, I bet they're going to get something to eat. And as the guy walks by, he says, this is not even funny. This is sacrilegious. There's nothing funny about this.
What's he there for, John?
He turns and walks. I don't know what movie.
He didn't read the paper.
I don't know what he thought he was going to.
Oh, I think we have more sleep trivia calls.
Wow.
Hello, hello.
Donna Mike?
Yes, we are. Hello.
Hi. I wanted to, first of all, agree with you that Dogma was great.
That movie kicks ass. I mean, I can't tell you how much how much ass that movie kicks. Really?
That's great.
Really, I'm jacked about that movie.
And I also wanted to find out what happened with Barty's homecoming this weekend.
Oh, I will tell you. But I thought you were calling for strip trivia.
No.
Oh, come on.
Jesus, thanks, please. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike, this is Julie.
Hello, Julie.
Hey, I was calling for the strip trivia.
There you go. Right, Julie. Hi, where are you from?
Leesburg.
Mm-hmm. How old are you?
28.
Celebrity you think you most resemble?
Well, you agreed on Halloween that I look similar to Gwyneth Paltrow.
Is this another repeat from Halloween?
Yes, it is.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Because I had to wear the blindfold, I don't remember the...
Of course.
Maybe I only remember
girls. Well, you saw a lot of the girls.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying, though. I don't remember them because I had no reason to remember them because I saw them with the clothes on.
Gwyneth Paltrow, all right.
All right. Hold on there, Boney Maroney. Hold on a second.
I guess a rotating crew of like six women that participate in all our nudity.
I guess she's in. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don, I have a question about Dogma.
Yes.
Why is it so controversial? Because down here in Louisiana, we had a bunch of holy rollies. I had one nun and a bunch of kids out there. We protest Dogma. And we stopped it. My friend and I had to stop and ask these retards if they've even seen the movie. And one of them actually did. And one of them told the other ones, and they all just decided to protest it. What is so bad about it?
Well, like everything like that, I wanted to ask you about what you think of that, too, as far as the controversy. Because, you know, I'm a big believer that when they do something like this, this comes straight out of a studio executive's office.
No, there were people that were pissed.
Really?
But I'm telling you, if you go see the movie, the underlying message in the movie is that God's a good guy and that God cares about what we're doing down here.
Okay, good.
And that you shouldn't break the commandments. That is the underlying message
right
throughout the entire movie. And I guess there are some people who are just so stupid that they couldn't see that. Because
people like to hate everything, though. I mean, that's the way it works.
There's a lot of great great scenes that I could see would upset people. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't go into it because I'm going to give it away.
Good. Okay.
I don't want to do it, but I could see why closed-minded people, especially those of the Catholic faith, would be offended by Dogma.
Uh-huh.
But it was great. Just the best movie I've seen since, I don't know. Hello.
Wow.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey. Did you read the article in USA Today about Regis and Larry King's column?
Yeah, we're going to get to that. Please let us do the show. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. Now, I thought we had Girls for Strip Trivia. Hello.
Hello.
Oh, here we go. Nadine.
Nadine,
baby.
Hello, Nadine.
Yes, baby.
Hi, Nadine, where are you calling from?
I live in Fairfax.
Beautiful. How old are you, Nadine?
26.
And you're calling for?
Strip
trivia. That's right. Who is the celebrity that you think you most resemble, Nadine?
Well, Elizabeth Shue or Heather Graham.
Oh, that's fine with me.
Hold the line, please. Hold the line, please.
I love Elizabeth Shue.
How many girls is that already, Mike?
We have Jennifer, Mandy, Melissa, Ann, Dawn, Julie, Ann, another Ann, and Nadine.
How many is that?
That is a total of 3, 4, 5, 6, 8.
Christ.
8 women.
We might already have enough if they're all serious, really going to come down here.
They're never enough, John.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, this is a guy.
Oh.
We had that sound of hope when you answered that phone.
Don? I'm just going to lines that are being put on hold by Rockhead. Yes, hello.
Hello, Don.
Yes.
Hey, this is Steve. How you doing? Hey, I was wondering, what's the sexual content in that Dogma movie? Is it bad or good or what?
There's virtually no sex in it.
Oh, really?
Right.
Okay, hey, I got one more thing. Ken Stevens, I know what Ken Stevens says on that tape.
Okay, all right, goodbye. Goodbye, you're talking about something that's like 2 months old.
Yeah, I know, but
I don't even know what he's talking about.
He's talking about when Ken went,
he says, I'm really, really embarrassed.
Okay.
You know, I really, really bad. Because you were dogging him, he was embarrassed.
No, seriously.
You know, I really, really bad.
That's over 2 months.
Right, okay, goodbye. Come on, Steve, catch up.
All right, thanks, bye.
Goodbye. Oh, Christ.
Hi, this is Steve.
And that call was screened, incidentally, by Mike Rockhead.
By Slowy Monday morning.
Toe-tapping touchstones right there. Listen, let's clear these lines. Work on secret sound number 7, which has been pushed to the max.
Absolutely.
This week, secret sound number 7 is worth $1,000 American dollars.
That's the ceiling in case the great Quizmaster decides to up the ante if you're a slow individual.
Yeah, that's right. $1,000 is the most we can give away for a standard person playing this game. And if we don't have a winner by the end of the week, then we're going to start giving clues and stuff to make it easier.
Standard people are welcome to apply, but those who are non-standard.
Below standard.
Below standard.
Below standard. Those people, the BSers, they get a chance for even more cash.
All right.
So be the 100th phone caller right now, and good luck. Phone number is 877-365-3636.
Oh, we got another lady call.
Yeah, we do. Hello, Sarah.
Hi.
Sarah. Hello, Sarah.
I want to be on Strip Trivia on Wednesday.
Yes, Wednesday. Correct. Where are you from, Sarah?
From Rockville, Maryland.
How old are you?
I'm 21.
You know, Mike, I don't know if we're living right or what, but we have never had...
I know, it's Aruba.
...this kind of response. Is that why you're calling, because it's the trip to Aruba?
No, I've always wanted to be on it.
Hey, maybe it's just good karma.
Oh, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's good I wore that goddamn blindfold 3 weeks ago.
Absolutely.
Sarah, who is the celebrity you think you most resemble?
Well, I was on your show for the Naked Wedding. I don't know if you guys remember that. I was the small one, the one with the small boobs, and you told me Helen Hunt.
Helen Hunt.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, we do so many naked features on this show. It's hard to remember who's been in here and who hasn't.
We're going to have a lot of veterans. We're going to have a lot of people with experience and, nude experience on the show.
All right, Sarah. Well, I guess we'll see Sarah's smile on Wednesday.
And I should tell you right now that I think we get repeat business, people that have been naked in this studio, because they know what a fun experience it is. They know that, if anybody
comfortable
gets,
in here.
Yeah, if anybody gets freaked out, there's no reason to be freaked out. And I think we've proven that by the people that come back for more.
All right, well, this has to be some kind of, hold on, Sarah, some kind of a land speed record. 9 girls in the first break when we've been talking about other stuff.
That's right. 9 girls are participating in the strip review.
Call 100 right now for Secret Sound, and then we will be back. You're listening to us in Wichita, Kansas. First things first, thanks for the great rating. And it's exactly 3 o'clock.
Good morning.
And you're hearing this show on Talk Radio KFH. Wichita.
God damn it.
Right.
The Don and Mike Show.
That's Buzz's hometown. That's where Buzz honed and refined his bad breath for many, many years.
Absolutely. That's why they, in the 1940s, they made a movie about it.
Hey, listen, before we get to Secret Sound, I would be remiss if I just didn't bust your balls for one second.
Oh, I'd accept your ball busting. I totally accept it.
This
I
is not
have
even,
set a record, have I not?
This was not even on the radio that Mike says this. It was last week during a commercial set.
Right.
Charles Broyhill comes in. We're in the fantasy league, the football league.
That's right.
And he says to Mike, do you have your lineup? And he starts busting Mike's balls, and he says, who are you going to start at running back? And
right.
As a matter of fact, he thought he had you because he says, you said, I want to start Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Right.
And Broyhill looks at you and he goes,
he said, Broyhill looks at me with a grin on his face. He says, what team does he play for? Thinking that with my limited knowledge of the NFL, I'm on the fringes of interest. I pay attention, but only really very minimally. And, we've got Charlie and Don, who does the pregame show for the Redskins. Very intense football guys, know the games, know the formations. I am not in that category. So Charlie smirks at me and says, about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who's my running back in my fantasy. Who does he play for? And I said, Cleveland, because I knew he had been traded from Miami to Cleveland. And I throw in, he's going to be used on first and second downs this year. I mean, this week, not like he was before. So I definitely slam dunked him with that piece of knowledge.
I'm enjoying watching. It's like watching a tennis match, because I see Broyhill try to bust balls, then I see Mike bust balls back.
And I bust balls back because I'm confident, because my team the previous week had scored 92 points, my best total ever. I was very excited, especially about Mark Brunell, the quarterback who I traded with Don for.
Right.
I said, I feel good. I really did feel good about this week.
Mike looks at Broyhill and he says, seriously, you know why I've turned my season around?
Wait,
because
I
pay attention and I'm on top of this now.
That's it. It's exactly
what
I said.
I'm on top of this
now. I said, during the baseball playoffs and, the golf season's wearing out now, now I'm starting to get more focused. And now that I am refocused, you watch the performance that I have in our fantasy league, and boy, did I have a week.
Mike's team scored -9 points.
-9 points, which Broyhill informs me is a record.
Oh, no.
For the worst performance. I believe that is the lowest output because it's in negative numbers, mm-hmm. and you can get negative numbers. The worst performance. Now, it might not be if Adam Vinatieri kicks four field goals tonight. I might get out of the worst record ever, but I tell you, it is still, for a weekend, it's got to be the worst performance ever in the history of a fantasy.
Well, mm-hmm. I feel for you.
And I that I was back into it a little bit. You know,
I was paying attention.
That's
what Brunel will do.
That
son of a bitch is out of my life.
I could not agree more. The main reason that my team sucks so bad is because of that guy, Mark Brunel, and I expected that they were going to have a fine week.
You thought they would kill Baltimore.
Sure, I thought Baltimore. I mean, Baltimore's got a good defense, but hey, you know, we're talking 7-1. We're talking one of the great, and you know, it sucks. They won the game 6-3. They win the game. They're 8-1. Jacksonville is 8-1, and they suck.
That is the most bogus 8-1 in the NFL. It was a playoff start.
Right.
They could get beat by, I counted today, there are at least 7 teams in the AFC that are better than Jacksonville.
Well, I'll tell you right now, I'm on a losing streak of just massive proportions.
It's not you, Mike.
It's me.
It's Brunel.
It's me.
Listen. When I had Brunel, I was 0-5.
Right.
I traded Brunel, and since then, I'm 5-0, and I'm on a tear. I'm telling you, what you want to do this week
is start Donovan McNabb.
Is just dump Brunel's ass.
Man, I can't dump him. I got to get something for him.
He is like a voodoo doll.
I think you're right. I'm willing to make a trade. I am willing to trade him right now. Anybody who needs a quarterback, I am willing to go with Donovan McNabb for the rest of my season.
And that's what you call Donovan.
In fact, you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to do a mediocre quarterback swap. And I'm sure that there are lots of mediocre quarterbacks in the NFL. I'd like to get rid of Brunel for an equally crappy quarterback. He's not crappy. He can. He has potential. As you know, every week.
But you know what?
To play well.
But 5 times out of 6, that son of a bitch throws for 50 yards, looks like a sad sack on the field.
I see Charlie Broyhill is walking into the studio right
Hello,
now.
Hello, Charlie.
Hello.
Yes?
You might want to speak to Tom. He might be willing to take your Mark Brunel.
And who is he offering? Does he have a crappy quarterback?
He has a crappy team as well.
Really? I'm saying a crappy quarterback, though, because I would want to get a quarterback.
He picked up Gus Frerotte on Sunday.
I'll tell you, Gus had a pretty good week.
But Gus won't be the starter when Charlie Batch gets back.
Yeah, you're right about that.
So maybe you talk to him about somebody.
All right. He didn't start. Did he start Gus Frerotte this week?
Yes.
Oh, so who's his other quarterback?
Dan Marino.
No, not interested. Sorry. And you grin. You know what you bring to me, Broyhill? You bring to me, seriously, if this was a restaurant, you would just have brought me a plate of S. A big steaming plate of S and go, hey, here's something you might be interested in. What it is that was S.
You know what I was thinking?
You might be stupid.
I thought they were, and I thought you could take advantage of them, okay?
You were really trying to help
me?
No, I want to tell you something. Gus Frerotte for Mark Brunel is not a fair trade.
No.
That's Mike being raped. Mike might as well just bend over and say, put a broomstick up my ass.
I at least should get a starter.
Yeah.
I want another starter, another crappy starter for Mark Brunel. That's what I want. A guy that I can at least look at and say, hey, there's a chance.
Then pick up Kent Graham.
Oh, done. I'm on the list. I want him.
No, nobody has him.
And I'm dropping Jeff Garcia.
Okay.
Did I already drop Jeff
Garcia? No, you dropped Steve Young.
Okay, I'm dropping Jeff Garcia for Kent Graham. Yes, Kent Graham next week.
So what you're saying is I want him.
And yes, you did. Yes, siree. Yes, I'm happy. No, I like, you know, I'm a Giants fan. I like that.
Better guys out there than Kent Graham. Kent Graham is a doofus.
I know he's a doofus.
But he starts.
He starts, and he's going up against the worst defense in the NFL.
So I'm sitting at home yesterday watching the games.
Thank you. Am I a lock for that? For Kent Graham?
No, you're not, because you don't have the worst record.
No, I don't have the worst record. What am I, 4-6 now?
Yes.
All right.
So I'm watching the games yesterday, and I'm thinking, I'm killing. I got Jeff George.
Chris Carter had an incredible game.
I got Chris Carter. I got Jeff George for 370 goddamn yards.
Right.
Edgerrin James runs for 100. Johnny Morton gets 100. Mm-hmm. The stupid tight end for the Giants that I start, he catches a touchdown pass.
Right.
I'm adding up the math in my head, and I'm thinking, I got over 100 points. I'm already thinking, what am I going to do with the money? I get on the computer today, and right away, it says, would you like an instant message from Charlie Broyhill? Yes, I say yes. And he clicks on it and he writes, you had a great week in fantasy. You had 113 points. And I type back, it's about time. I'm really going to enjoy the money. And he types back, I had 120.
Oh, My God. Mm. Roy Hill, how many times has he... The commissioner of our
he's
league
won,
has won the more... The
I believe out of 10 weeks...
He's won four.
I bet he's won... Hey, Roy Hill, how many have you won? Out of 10 weeks, how many have you won?
That's only my third.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Okay, all right, you're third.
It seems like you've won more.
Yes, it does.
Oh, shut up.
Way to go.
Thank you.
Happy for you.
No, you're not.
No, I'm not.
Hey, he's a pisser.
But thanks for the Ken Graham. So, who is... No, I don't even want to talk about it. These are the nitty-gritty, boring fantasy football things that people don't want to hear about.
Okay.
I just want him.
You could do better than him.
You mean just to pick up a guy?
Yeah, you could do better.
As far as quarterbacks out there, see, that's what I'm bad at. I liked it when you gave us the big, thick printout. I hate the email thing where I have to open the document and then print. When I try to print your documents, my computer says that it's too wide.
But you know what? When your computer says it's too wide to print, just click OK and it will still print everything out for you.
Oh, it will?
Yeah.
All right, I'll do that.
It does that for me every week.
Okay.
Every single week.
Just hate using all that paper.
I do.
You're funny.
I hate using all that paper. It's just a waste. Takes so much time.
We should do make Barty an offer for Brad Johnson.
Oh, absolutely.
Bart is fat at quarterback.
You were just talking to him. Is he available?
He's at the dentist now.
He's at the dentist now?
He's at the dentist now. Don't you take advantage of my boy.
Mark Brunell for Brad Johnson, and I'll throw in Mike Alstott.
I guarantee you he'd make that deal. I guarantee you he would make that deal.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. That'd be a good deal for Barty.
Could he give me a running back, do you think? Does he have a crappy running back?
He doesn't even have a running back. Oh, hold on. I bet this is him.
All right.
Hello?
There's no guarantee I would make that deal.
Barty, that is a sweet deal, son.
I don't know.
Brad, Bart, do you have any, Brad, not that I want Brad Johnson so much, do you have any running backs that you'd be able to part with if I offered you Alstott?
Just straight up.
No, just if it was like, I'd like to give you offer Mark Brunell and Mike Alstott for Brad Johnson and like another running back, because I want to plug in that running back hole.
Well, I'm not trading my running back because he just moved up.
Who was your running back, buddy?
J.J. Johnson.
Oh, for Miami. Well, you know what, Barty?
How about Mark Brunell for, what else? Mark Brunell for Brad Johnson, and who else would you want from my team?
Who do you have?
I got Carl Pickens. I got Jimmy Smith.
Who else?
I've got, that's about it as far as the good guys. I have Adam Vinatieri, who's a kicker. But okay. I'm not going to give him up.
Barty, ask Uncle Mike if he would package Brunell and Jimmy Smith for Brad Johnson.
Would you?
Brunell and Jimmy Smith for Brad Johnson?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I'm not that much of a sucker. But, I mean,
Alstott and Brunell for Brad Johnson would be a move that if I was you, Barty, I would make.
Well, you know what? I really got to think about it.
Okay.
Because I might offer EB something.
Yeah. Oh, he was on the computer with Eric this weekend trying to work out a deal, too.
This is a cutthroat league we have. This is a cutthroat league. What are your needs, Bart? What are the areas where you need the most?
I don't need any area. I'm strong.
No, he's got a good team. He's got a damn good team. He really does. All right, buddy. How'd it go to the dentist today?
Good.
All right. I love you.
How about Mark Brunell, Mike Alstott, and Jimmy Smith for Brad Johnson?
Remind you.
Don't play with him like that, Uncle Mike. You're cruel now.
No, I'm not being cruel. You're not being cruel. What?
What did you offer me?
Nothing.
Okay, yeah. You're jerking your chain.
No, I will offer you Brunell and Alstott or Brunell and Smith for Brad Johnson. You have the choice of either one.
Brunell and Jimmy Smith?
Yep.
I'll really have to think about that.
Barty, I want to tell you something. If you don't,
the offer will be taken off the table in 1.5 hours.
Barty, I would tell you now. Do that now. Do I give you bad advice?
Sometimes.
When do I give you bad advice?
And you know what it is? Seriously, Bart, I
don't know, because sometimes you go behind my back.
Bart, I will tell you. No, he's not doing that.
I asked you, should I pick up so-and-so? And you said, no. And then I find out the next day
Let me tell you. Bart, I'm going to go on record. I know I'm not the greatest expert when it comes to football, but this is an I-don't-care trade for me, okay? I know that I'm giving you a lot of value I like the idea of having Brad Johnson because he at least scores some points every week.
Barty, I would make that deal in a heartbeat. As a matter of fact, if you make that deal with Uncle Mike, I would like to make you a deal for Alstott. Or I would. Why don't we make a three-way deal where I will give you your much sought-after Wayne Krebet for All-Star?
Do you know what I just realized also? That Jimmy Smith is off the table. I will make that deal with Mark Brunell and Mike Alstott. I will not make it with Jimmy Smith. Jimmy Smith is the only decent player.
Although I love the Jets, I do not have that much faith to have two receivers on the Jets on my team.
All right. Well, how about this? How about you make one of these trades, or I will tell all the secrets about homecoming on Saturday night. What do you think about that? I haven't even talked about your homecoming yet.
And I don't think you're going to.
And I haven't even talked about the fact that I saw you instant messaging yesterday, your friend, some of the stuff I read.
I noticed the conspicuously...
I saw the instant message.
Yes.
I saw somebody wrote to you, did you make out with her?
No,
I read it, but don't worry, your secrets are safe with me.
I noticed that Mike E. Rockett has slinked into the studio, and he is also a fantasy member of the league.
Yes, Rockett, what? I'm trying to talk with my son and his uncle Mike here.
You
what?
Could have kept going. Well, I wasn't interrupting.
What do you want?
Because we have a quarterback we're not using and named Rich Gannon, who threw for 4 touchdowns yesterday. And who are your other wideouts?
Rich Gannon, who incidentally, Mike, has a broken hand.
Threw for 4 touchdowns yesterday on his non-throwing hand, his broken hand.
Is he gonna play regularly?
Yeah,
he plays.
He broke it weeks ago.
Mark Brunell for Rich Gannon?
No, I don't want Brunell. Who are your wideouts?
Okay, out.
Okay, get out.
There you go.
Yeah, get out.
I didn't like the attitude. I'd like to deal with the Bart at least is showing me a little respect here. You know, your attitude sucks. I'll never make a trade with you. There we go. Excuse me, Bart. I didn't mean to get upset. I was getting upset at Mikey Rocket.
All right, Bart, listen. I love you, bud. And I think if you don't make that deal with Uncle Mike, you're cuckoo.
Uncle Mike?
Yes.
I don't know because I don't know.
What? Now the phone's breaking up. What's he trying to say to me?
What, Barty? Call when you get home.
Call when you get home. Yeah, because at 4...
Bye-bye.
Let's see. There he goes. That's right. At 4:35 Eastern time, that deal will be off the table. Aren't I clever?
I will be telling all the secrets from homecoming here in just a moment. It was a night, man. It was a night.
You put an extra 1,000 miles on your car?
Yeah. Oh, not to mention that, well, I'll tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Above and beyond. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Hey, buddy, thank you for waiting. Who is this?
This is Rick Dean.
Rick, you are the 100th caller.
Yes.
Where are you calling from?
Yes, Hollywood, Maryland.
Beautiful. You've won the DVD Big Daddy from DVDExpress.com.
Excellent.
DVDExpress.com reduces the agony of holiday shopping. Great low prices at your door with overnight shipping. I'd also like to mention Friday, this is a deal that DVD.com has given us.
What are they doing?
On Friday's episode, every hour, we're giving away a brand new DVD player and a DVD box set.
Wow!
Every hour during Friday's show.
That's pretty incredible.
That's thanks to DVDExpress.com.
Excellent.
Cool. All right, now, secret sound number 7. We have maxed this baby out at $1,000. Tell me a little bit about yourself, sir.
Well, I'm a computer consultant. I'm basically a programmer. That's it. I got a wife. I got a stepdaughter. And I am itching to get this money.
Do you think you have an idea what the sound is?
Well, I've been guessing. I've been writing down guesses since October when I started.
Way ahead of the curve. Professional. He's a professional.
He's a professional.
Listen, take this as a compliment. You're going to play for $1,000.
Yeah.
Okay?
But, all right. That's fine. Thank you.
Because you do sound like a nice guy, here is a hint, especially for you.
Caller, it's not a stapler. It's not a soda can opening. It's not unloading a gun, a briefcase latch, chopping a fruit or vegetable, any kind of door lock, or your mama's head banging against a headboard. Thank you.
All right, now that you've heard that great clue, we're going to play the sound for you. I give you 15 seconds to think it over. Please don't answer till Mike sings like Hank Hill. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
For $1,000... Good luck.
Caller, name this sound.
It's a tough one.
Very.
This is the toughest sound we've had. This is even tougher than the sound when people were coming down and girls were getting their heads shaved down the middle. This is tougher than that one. And now it's your chance.
Yes. Thank you.
Yes.
Yes.
For $1,000 American dollars, what is that sound?
Okay, I only hope no one guessed this, but I'm guessing someone shuffling cards together?
No one has guessed that.
Would that be because it's the winner?
Would you please repeat that?
Someone shuffling playing cards together.
What was your first name?
Rick.
Rick, I want you to remember today's date. If today is the day
that I lose,
today is the day you screw the pooch.
God damn it.
Even I now know what the secret sound is, and you had me believing that something had changed. That is how well you sold that.
No, that's fantastic. That's the best part of this job, is jerking people around.
I want you to remember today's date.
Because today's the day that you blew it.
Thank you.
But it was a fine guess.
Now, listen, that had not been guessed before, so we can officially say that every guess is a clue for you.
Mm-hmm. All right.
We thank you for listening to the show.
All right, thank you.
Hold on just a moment.
And I'm going to need a whole break to tell you about the homecoming. So before I do that, I wanted to mention.
Yes.
I want to officially have this noted on the record that on yesterday's date, November 14th, I officially became sick of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Oh, bravo.
And I am officially off the bandwagon.
All right, very good.
Okay, I'm not predicting that this show is going to come crashing down. Now people will still continue to watch it in droves, but just as far as me personally,
you're just tired of it.
I'm done with it. I turned it on last night.
The show definitely has a shelf life in my opinion.
Oh yeah. 9 o'clock, I turned it on, and even though they're moving faster, I'll give them credit.
They're zuck fast.
They are editing Regis together now, so that he just asks question.
Doing a good job with the editing, making him appear to be coherent.
My problem with the show is this: the early questions are for morons,
right?
And I cannot stand it when a guy gets, like last night, gets the $64,000, and then they show him the next question,
right,
and then he gets to decide if he's going to quit with his $64,000 or move on.
And it takes too long.
There's no drama.
So slow.
I'm officially past it. I was caught up in the hype. Yes, I watched it. Yes, I thought it was exciting. But now I'm sick of it.
You know what would help that show? And I know it's getting great ratings and it probably doesn't need any help, but you know what would really help that?
Topless girls?
Topless girls, maybe, but a wheel. You throw a wheel in. Any kind of wheel. You want to make a show happening, you put a wheel on.
Mike, there is a show with a wheel. I'm sure you know.
Really?
Yeah, really.
A show with a wheel in it?
Yeah, right.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
All the great ideas have already been taken.
I love the wheels, though.
But
I really do.
Listen, I'm really just officially past it.
How about greed?
Not yet. I saw the promos yesterday during the football game with the show. The guy with the Yahoo Sirius hair.
Yeah, now, when do they come back on?
Thursday. And they said... And they announced yesterday during the football games,
one person decides to go for the $2 million.
One person goes for $2 million.
Now, how can you not watch that? No. It's a better show.
No. I'll stick with that. But Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? I poop on you.
Really?
I'm done with it. I'm not. It's not even going to be in my flipping choices anymore. Too much. Regis is too pompous.
Yeah, he is.
This whole thing about, hey, it's me. It's Regis. Blah, blah, blah. What are the colors of the American flag?
Yeah, and Larry King endorsed him today, so that's right. Officially, I'm officially big time over Regis.
And also, if I'm producing that show, you know what I tell the contestants? Especially when
ceremony was a girl who could recite all 50 states alphabetically, so I'm going to have to guess C. 50. It's like, you know, I don't know who's schooling these contestants.
They're schooling them to drag it out.
Right.
Yeah, well, that's what's killing that show.
And it sucks. But they did that from day one, and I told you I hated that show.
I know. Well, it's finally just reached the burn level.
And also, you know, even old Frog in his column here says that final answer question is just crap.
Well, I don't mind that.
So contrived.
But I have no bones with that. With saying, is that your final answer? But just say it. You know, just say, how many states are there?
50.
Is right. That your final answer?
Yes.
Correct. You won $200.
You know what would be, I would enjoy it a lot more if they were all lightning rounds. If you had a certain amount of time. That's
Amen.
The thing that makes Jeopardy great, is that they have a limited amount of time. They can't sit there hemming and hawing. I mean, if you don't know it, you don't know it.
And I hate the bio stuff on these people. Mm-hmm. Well, Regis, I went to college in the state of Massachusetts,
right,
and I happen to travel up and down Route 95 constantly, and I happen to know that that is a rest stop. A rest stop, you say?
Is that your final answer?
No, but you know what? A lot of times he'll say, before he says, is that your final answer? Sure about that?
And he's got this thing that's now annoying the hell out of me with his... Right. You notice how age-spotted his fingers are?
Oh, he's got talons.
Yeah.
He's got claws. Sure, he ought to be getting, you know, bass out of a lake with those hands.
He puts his talon up to his temple, and he goes, are you sure? You sure? So that would be your final answer.
Because he's Mr. Smarty Pants, when right. He really, you're dealing with one of the great idiots of television.
So here's what the frog writes today. Unsolicited advice for who wants to be a millionaire. One, never let Regis Philbin go. He is a national treasure.
Yeah, you know why Larry likes Regis. Regis is also in the I Don't Want to Die Club.
I think that's absolutely an inaccurate statement. Mm-hmm. That the reason that show is popular is that it is something different that has captured the public's fancy. And it, the host of the show could be Gary Coleman, and people would be watching that show every week.
I'd go back to it if they brought Gary Coleman in.
I got to agree with the frog. Second, forget the questions leading up to $500. They're insipid and have no suspense. I agree with that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. The first question should be for $1,000. In my opinion, guests should keep everything they win up to, and including the $32,000 plateau. No, that's wrong. That's wrong. You got to have some drama.
Right. Right.
You got to say to people, and furthermore, you take away the option to quit.
Mm-hmm.
You just say, if you're going to play this game, you're in this game to the very end. And maybe you'll win $1 million, but if you don't, you go home with bupkis.
I love that. That, to me, would make it a lot better, sure. And that would be a lot quicker.
Anybody
wouldn't have to mess around. You wouldn't have the decision process.
The point of no return last night was this Chinese dude who was rolling along. I mean, he got question after question, and then he got the 64 grand, so they said they're going to double it, 128,000. They said, you want to look at the question? He says, sure. So they show him the question, and then the guy says, oh, I don't want to answer that.
It's horrible.
I'm afraid,
right?
I don't know that one. So Regis says,
so
okay.
So you go to play blackjack, and, you know, the dealer shows you his hand.
Here's your 64 grand. You know, and then the son of a bitch, they say, well, what would your answer have been if you would have guessed? Oh, I would have guessed C.
Okay, it was C.
C was the right answer.
So long, wussy.
Let me see. And finally, do you owe Cole Porter royalties for his wonderful song, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Cole Porter, younger than Larry.
Has anybody ever heard of the song, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Rob is raising his hand.
Okay, Rob doesn't count. Rob is a freak of society.
No.
Rob is a freak of nature. Robbie doesn't count.
Who wants to be a millionaire?
Well, anyway, I'm officially done with that show.
Well, if you thought Regis was pompous before, he's probably even more so now that he beat the NBC lineup last week. First time ABC has beaten NBC on a Thursday night since 1983.
Oh, Christ. And you know what's awful about that is that you know he thinks...
It's him.
It's him.
Right, of course.
Thanks,
because he is such a skilled game show host when he is not...
He's feeble.
Right.
He's feeble. He's covered with age spots, man. There should be an expiration date on that show, because that show, they're going to find as fast as the public loves something,
right,
just as fast we turn and we crap on it.
And I like Woolery, man. Yeah. I just like Chuck Woolery. When I think game show host, Chuck Woolery is in my top five all the time.
Well, they're all irreplaceable.
Yep.
I mean, they're all replaceable.
Well, I think Chuck Woolery is
irreplaceable. Okay,
absolutely.
Time out. More show coming right up.
Dude Walker, and here's Don and Mike. They're so nice, they pick me as their spokesman, because I'm nice.
You've got bad breath, bud. Bad breath.
Uncle Mike, I just received a call during the break.
Yes.
That is a done deal.
Mike Alstott and Mark Brunell for Brad Johnson.
For Brad Johnson.
Good. All right.
Done deal.
By the deadline.
Good, good, good. My boy took the advice. Good deal all around.
All right. Now, is that going to cost me $10 because I'm giving up two players? Or
I don't know. You have to talk to...
The commissioner's like talking to his girlfriend or something.
Right.
Like
talking
that.
To one of his girlfriends.
Yeah, you always tell when he shows any even slight smile, you know, he's talking to a woman. You know, because I went by and I hear this. And I look in and he looks at me and he's like,
well, you know, I was talking to my wife this weekend about Charlie Broyhill.
He's fascinating, isn't he?
About what a monkey he is.
He is truly a fascinating individual.
She says to me, do you know that some of the most pleasant conversations that she's ever had with people are conversations that she's had with Charlie Broyhill?
Very good.
And I said,
Really? I said, when I speak to him, it's like talking to somebody in that movie Quest for Fire.
Uh-huh.
It is like talking to a caveman who drags his knuckles on the ground. Oh, here he comes. And my wife was throwing compliments your way left and right. She says, when I talk to Charlie, we have great conversations. He asks me how I'm doing. He asks how everything's going. We have great conversation. My wife loves talking to you on the telephone.
And I enjoy speaking with her.
As a matter of fact, in the middle of all of that, she said to me, do you know who Charlie looks like? And I said, one of those charts of the evolution of man? And now here's her latest thing, though. She thinks you look like Sting.
Yeah, I've heard that before.
A little.
I think he looks a little like Sting.
Okay.
Sting from 3 Mile Island. Absolutely.
My wife is truly in your fan club, Charlie, and I don't know why.
Me neither.
What is it? Why do our wives both like Charlie?
Well, your wife likes Charlie.
That's right.
Because Charlie's doing her.
I know. That's the running joke. People should know that you have to be a good working, have a good working relationship. When someone jokes from the moment you have met your wife to
the present day. Remember, though, we went out on the first date, the three of us.
No, we did not.
We did.
Did you go with us?
Yes.
Oh, that's right.
Yes.
That's when I bullied you away.
Yes, you did.
I remembered that. Well, I was very competitive.
Was there a fight for Laura's attention?
It wasn't a fight, but Charlie and I had both expressed the same level of interest. I believe we were both single at the time.
Yes.
And we were both kind of, and I was, I think I was in a situation where I was just, I was so smitten that I really immediately felt the threat from Charlie Broyhill and wanted to convey my incredible dissatisfaction with the fact that he was even sitting at the table. And I think it was something along the lines of, I was nice about it. It was something like, get out.
Because, I mean, a lot of people don't know this. This is not a gag.
Right.
That Mike met his wife.
On this show.
Right. She called originally to play, like, the Highway Love Connection.
Yep.
One day and couldn't get anybody to stop by.
No, that's not what happened. There was a guy that was a 5 foot tall version of Mel Gibson, and Laura's sister called her and said, they say there's a guy that's, Laura's 4'10 and a half, so there's a short guy, maybe he was 5'5 the guy was, I mean, he was short, he said a short version of Mel Gibson. Then Laura drove to the site to check the guy out, and then Charlie put Laura right through, and when she saw the guy, she didn't know what to say, and at that point, I think it's one of the first times that we said, if you think the guy is scary looking, cough once. Mm-hmm. And she coughed.
Well, you would remember certainly better than I would. I mean, it's the story of your life. I mean, all I remember is that she came down.
It wasn't that she went out and sat on the side of the road and had no takers. No, that's not the way the story goes. Thank you. But thank you for remembering it that way, that my wife sat there on side of the road and had no takers.
No. I remember that there was a foul-up.
Yeah, that's what it was.
A foul-up with a Highway Love Connection.
Well, now that you know the way the story, it just would have sounded, it's my wife we're talking about.
I know,
about
not that.
She'd have 500 men that were coming.
Disservice.
But actually, Laura was not a regular listener of the program. It was her sister, Emily, who was a regular listener of the program and said, heard us talking about the short Mel Gibson call.
Well, now, she came down to have us autograph something for her.
She came down and had her skates, and that's when I wrote on her skates. I said, marry me on the skates, which was, at the time was a very cheap, line that I was using. I didn't think it would come true. When I did ask her to marry me, I actually put the ring in the skates because I had actually written that and it came true. When it was just a... Thank you. Right. Thank you very much. That's the sensitive kind of guy I am.
But Charlie, you actually, I didn't see, I didn't know that byplay ever occurred.
It was only once. It was one night. It was the first night
first date.
I went out. The first date was the three of us.
And why was it the three of you the first day?
We all went out with it. There was it was you and me and Laura, and I don't know if anybody else came from the station.
I think it was just the three of us.
It was one of those deals where, hey, let's all go out, and I remember I used to do that all the time. Remember,
well,
I mean, we'd all go out with a big
so
gang of people.
It's so long ago when you were single, when you did used to...
I'd go out every night.
I mean, I do forget how things used to be.
Do you remember how it used to be? I'd go out every single night.
I remember
how it was lonely. I didn't have anybody to go home to eat dinner. I'd go out. I'd ask Rob to go out. Yeah. I'd go out with Matt Elliott. I'd go out with everybody.
Oh, I do remember you going out with Rob a lot.
I'd go out.
Broyhill seems like an unlikely dinner companion.
We had dinner many times in those days. We do it all the time. I go out with Daryl Nichols.
What's happened now between you boys?
Life changes.
You know, God, you know what it's like.
I know.
You have a wife and children, and there's just, I mean, your life is not like we know it anymore, but we went down to my friend, remember my friend Costas?
Yes, sure. I remember, yeah.
I don't see Costas anymore. I don't know what he's doing. I say hi if he's listening. But
so that first night.
Yes.
When you went on the date.
Charlie left early.
But when you went on the date, Charlie, did you think that you were going to be vying for Laura's attention?
Not at all.
As well?
Yeah. No, I just wanted a free meal.
Yeah. Yeah, he really
is. Okay. I knew he was
paying. He knew that I was interested, but he didn't. He wasn't as interested as I was. And he has played that up ever since to torture me as much as he can.
Because he constantly tells you that he's had sex with your wife recently.
Yes, and it's a joke that anyone that I didn't, you know, I will tell him that he knows I like him, because it's a joke that I probably wouldn't accept from anybody else. But there's something about his monkey charm that makes me laugh at that. And I can say, because he was there at the beginning, I can accept that joke from him. But he doesn't just say it blatantly, that, you know, he'll say something like, I'll come in.
He's very crude when he describes what he's done with
his
wife.
This is what he'll do. I'll come in and I'll say, you know, Laura said that she was going to start skating again this weekend, and Charlie will look at me and go, I know. That's the way he'll do it. I mean, it's subtle. And he does it every single time. If my wife's name comes up, there will be a joke from him about that.
Well, why did you come in here?
The monkey-like comments.
Yes.
I just thought I'd come in and listen.
All right, we'll get out of here.
Okay.
All right, goodbye.
Well, I don't know what it is. I really don't know what it is the girls like in him. I really don't. I've asked my wife. I've said, Broyles very popular with girls.
Are you still seeing that woman that was at the party?
Oh, of course he's not.
Yes.
Oh, are you really seeing the same girl?
Same one.
Huh. Really?
She is a stone cold knockout.
Really?
Yeah, but I gotta go.
Oh, all right.
Now he's uptight about that.
There you go.
When we talk about that.
She's you were scurrying me along, so I'm
glad. No, she is fantastic looking, and I told her that this morning.
Good.
Yeah, see, it doesn't matter to me.
Well, see, that doesn't blow your reputation with all your phone hoes to let them know that you have a girlfriend?
No.
Okay. And she would be, you feel free to call her your girlfriend?
No. I don't.
What a life he has. What a life he has.
What a cad.
He is a cad.
What a cad.
A total rogue.
In my next life, I would really love to come back as your penis. I really would. That'd be a fantastic existence to be Charles Broyles' penis.
Unbelievable.
You get to go to so many different places.
He's going
to
be very sad.
You get to travel so much if you were Charles Broyles' penis.
He's going
to
be a very sad, lonely old man, though. That's right. He's because he does not commit. Just he's going to be a sad, lonely old man.
Imagine all the different bedrooms you'd see.
Yeah.
If you were Charlie Broyles' penis.
Oh, look at this. This is incredible. Wow, did I have a great time. Man, fantastic.
All the different car interiors you would see.
Sure. But, you know,
all the underneath of desks and stuff you'd see.
Yeah, but you'd be sick so often. Oh. Constant runny noses.
And the shots.
Rats and rashes.
The shots and the scratches.
Rashes and scabs.
Yeah, well, it's a small price to pay. When you're Charles Broyles' penis.
Oh, Charles
Broyles. Of course, you'd also have thousands of different vinyl outfits to wear.
Oh, constantly. In different varieties, oh, yeah. You know, ribbed.
Let me ask you, you use rubbers, don't you?
For what?
Well, come on. Oh, stop that.
Come on, do you use rubbers?
No.
Really? You don't use rubbers?
No.
You don't use protection?
I don't need to.
Why?
Because I don't.
Why?
I don't do that.
Oh, you don't do that. Oh, all right. Well, yeah, right.
No.
You don't have intercourse?
Not with her.
With the lady we're talking about?
With the hot girl?
Yes.
You haven't had intercourse?
Have not.
Really?
Why?
Have not.
Why?
I'm no rush.
No rush? How long have you been staying there?
July.
Have you had a mutually satisfying sexual experience with this woman?
Is mutual important?
So you have in some way, you're doing it other ways. Then.
Yes.
Very good.
Really? Why is that?
I'm in no rush.
You're in no rush?
No.
How can you not be in a rush? I've been married to the same woman for 18 years and I'm in a rush to bang her. Constantly I am. I was in a rush to have sex with my wife last night.
Brahma the bull over here. Smoke's flaring out of his nostrils as he takes his foot right foot and like drags it into the dirt.
I got mad at my wife last night. I was ready for sex. Mm-hmm. I put the boy to bed. I cleaned the kitchen. I'm upstairs waiting, watching the damn football game, and the next thing I hear from downstairs is, do, with the piano and stuff. You know, I bang on the window, hey, what about me? Take care of me. I'm ready. I'm ready for you.
Do me.
Do me now.
Do me now. I'm upstairs.
I guess,
do me for the love of God.
I guess my point is that I have been with the same woman for 18 years. I have not, over 18 years. I lived with her for a year before I married. I've not had the excitement of having new women constantly parading before me. And I still can't wait to have sex with my wife. So how could you possibly wait from having sex with that hot girl you've been dating?
I don't see her that often.
Do you have sex regularly?
With someone else?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, so you don't have just like a regular...
No, I don't.
You know what disturbs me and what questions his sincerity on these answers? I believe he's lying. I believe he's lying.
As do I, Mike.
I believe he's lying because he's far too, it's easily, you know, he knows that he can just say that and, you know, we're not buying it, Charlie. We're not buying it for a second here.
That's okay.
So what you're telling me in essence is that you've lived the life of the Pope.
No, I'm not telling you that either. You're asking me about this one specific situation.
With that one girl.
Right.
But is she your only girl?
Yes.
She is. So she, if you date anyone, she is the only one you
date.
She's
the one.
Oh, really?
Then I'm dating.
And you're interested?
Yes.
Okay.
But you've not gotten in her pants?
Not like that.
Will she be happy to hear you say that?
If she's in the listening area.
Do you think she'd be happy to hear you say that?
Probably.
Probably. So there's still a great deal, though, of uncertainty in the relationship.
A great deal.
Would she sense that as a sign of commitment?
No.
She would not?
No.
If she came to you and said, I'm interested in more of a commitment, would you be willing to do that?
I think that's the best way to drive him off.
Not right now.
Not right now.
Yeah. So
he says he's a single successful guy.
Has she tried to advance things with you?
No.
She has not?
Not at all.
So you are absolutely the aggressor sexually in this relationship.
Oh, you're talking sex? No. Yeah, she's been aggressive.
She's been aggressive?
Yes.
So you mean there's been a time when she's, in essence, said, you know, do me.
No, not that aggressive.
Not that aggressive.
All right.
No.
Has there been heavy petting?
Yes.
There has been heavy petting.
Your face when you ask that question cracks me up. When you ask that, has there been heavy petting? You just shake your head around when you ask that question.
Has there been heavy...
I feel so gay asking him all these questions. I really do.
Has there been heavy petting on both sides, Charlie? Have you been both receiving?
Oh, yes.
Yes, there has.
All right, so there's something going on there.
All right, so you're getting some.
Yes.
It's a long-distance relationship,
pretty
right?
Long.
How long?
Since July.
No, I mean, how far away?
See, that's where the cave dweller comes through right there. Since July. No, he meant how long distance.
How far?
About 4 hours.
About 4 hours.
Oh, that is a long distance.
That's perfect distance, isn't it?
Four.
For a single guy. I mean, that's perfect enough that she's close. If you need
have
to
you
see
driven
her.
That far? Have you driven that distance to see her?
Yes, I have.
But that's perfect because she's far enough away that he can have his own life. Yet, if he wants to go see her, she's just 4 hours away.
It's up in Amish country, isn't it?
No.
That's where she lives, on a farm.
It's the other way, isn't it?
It's the other way.
It's Virginia way.
Oh, it's Virginia way, down south.
Down south, they say, Mike.
Yeah, down south.
Yeah. All right, well, it's been very interesting.
Even Akakik was a foreign country to me.
Well, it's been very interesting finding out all about your sex life. I'd like to point out that you brought this on yourself when you unsolicited came in today when we were just talking about what a monkey you are.
That's right.
Okay.
All right.
Well, that's fascinating, though, because honest to God, folks, at least as far as I'm concerned, I won't know this about him unless we do this on the air.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Yeah, he's nowhere near this forthcoming.
Absolutely.
Off the radio.
He does this because he knows that's what our audience demands. That's the only reason he's coming clean.
Our audience wants to know what's going on in the trousers of Charles Broyles.
Absolutely.
We want to know what's happening down there.
Right on.
Okay, well, thank you, Charlie.
You're welcome.
Thank you. His name is Charlie.
His name is Charles, but close friends call him Charlie, and he's behind bars.
In a zoo. All right, time out. More show coming right up. Sometimes he looks just like me, and he has many of my mannerisms, but there's definitely some Frida in him.
Yeah, sure.
I find, well, listen, Bart, I don't want to return the pants. If you want a new pair of pants, we're just going to go to the mall, and we're going to buy the new pants.
He says, well, I'm not going to the mall unless we return the pants.
Oh.
So we're having a little standoff, right?
Very fiscally responsible.
Right, yeah. So of course I cave. So we go to the mall. I stand in line at the return desk. I return the pants.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out we don't have the slip. So then I've got to go look for my wife's credit card receipt. The whole thing. It's a big pain in the ass. We buy him the pants that he wants. Excuse me. Now, keep in mind that the pants that he bought last week, we thought were okay, but somehow in the last week,
mm-hmm.
something's happened. The pants aren't cool. He can't wear these pants.
They're uncool pants.
Right. Even though he's wearing like a little suit.
Right.
Okay, so... To me, a pair of regular pants that you wear with a jacket and a tie, they're...
You sound like your father.
Pants are
pants.
You
sound like everybody's father right now. Pants are pants, for God's sakes. They look fine.
So,
too many.
We get the pants. Then the next stop is we go to the flower store.
Ah.
Because we got to get the thing
for massage.
Yeah, the thing for her wrist.
Is that what they say? Is that what they call it? I mean, is that...
They don't say it like that. They didn't say corsage.
Corsage.
Fray. But they did. But they do call it a corsage.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, there's a debate with that. We go in the flower shop.
We get it. We had pre-ordered it for him. We go in. Orchids.
We get it. Yeah. Goddamn thing's expensive, like $24
mm-hmm.
for a thing about this big that this girl's going to wear on her wrist.
Right.
And I immediately said to Bart, as soon as we get home, you got to put that in the refrigerator. He said, why? I said, because if you don't, it'll wilt.
Right.
And it'll go bad.
Right.
He said, well, why don't I put it in the freezer then? I said, well, if put it in the freezer...
Oh, it's a long day.
If you put it in the freezer, it's going to get very, very, very brittle, like parchment. He says, Dad...
I feel for you now.
Why do they put flowers in the refrigerator? I said, to keep them fresh. I said,
right.
Do you remember when we went to the store, when the lady went back to get it? She went into a big refrigerator.
Sure.
He said, no, Dad, that wasn't a refrigerator. I said, Bart, just because it didn't have a door on the front that gave water and ice, trust me, it was a refrigerator.
Right.
Okay, so we go through that. Then we got to go to the drugstore because he's got to get a deodorant and he's got to get all of his craft. We get home. I decided at that point, I've had enough day already.
Mm-hmm.
We've been on the go for 3 hours, so I said, let's take a break. We went, we saw the movie Dogma, which, as I told you, was fantastic. Love
right.
that movie.
Right.
Love it. Highest recommendation. Get back home, and then it's Nerve City.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're supposed to be at the girl's house at 6:15.
Okay.
So about 4:30 is when Bart started getting hyper.
Right.
I said, go take your shower now. And he's like, I don't know if I should take my shower now or if I should wait till right before we go. What, is my hair going to be okay?
Right.
And every time that I would come upstairs, and he was upstairs getting ready in his room, I would go, hey, Barty, what are you doing in there? And he would go, don't come in here. I said, Bud, listen, I just want to tell you, we got to leave in a half hour. He says, okay, don't come in here. I'm like, ugh. Christ, I can't win with this kid. So finally, 5:30 comes.
Mm-hmm.
I've been on him since 4:30. Say every right. 5 minutes, I'm running upstairs. So we gotta go. We gotta go. Finally, 5:30, he comes running downstairs. He says, "I'm ready. Let's go." Now he's all dressed up. Looks like a little man. He's got on his
suit. You wearing a tie?
Suit, tie.
Good.
Looking sharp.
Good pants.
Yeah. Nice pants, although the other pants for my money.
They were just as good.
Six is one, a half dozen of the
right.
other. I said to him, you know what? Why don't we get a little hairspray for your hair? He says, Dad, hairspray is queer. I said, no, you know what? I wear hairspray. He said, right. You're queer.
Oh, God.
You know, it's like that. We're back and
it's
forth.
Starting like that, huh?
Back and forth. So I said, let me just fix your hair. Because you got like a Dennis the Menace thing happening
right.
in the back. So we go through this. Then as we're walking out the door, I said, aren't you forgetting something? How about the flower?
Ah, yes.
So he goes back and he gets the flower and I say, what do you say? And he says, we're late.
Oh, he is right. his mother's son.
Hey, a little uptight.
All right.
So we get in the car. We're on the way over. And now we're driving and we're having the debate about how long I'm going to stay in the girl's house. Ideally, what Bart wants me to do is simply drop him off a block away so that, like, I'm not even seen. I said, no, absolutely not.
Well, what did you settle on, finally?
Well, at this point, there's no room for negotiation.
Right.
I said, no.
You're coming into the house?
I'm going into the house. Not only am I meeting this girl, I'm meeting her mom and dad, but you see what this is? This is a camera, and I'm going to take pictures of you and this girl.
Right.
I said, oh, Dad. No, don't take pictures. I said, listen, there is no room for negotiation here.
Right.
I'm taking pictures. And if you don't like it, you know, tough toenails. So we're driving down the road, and then everything's a compromise.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just one photo. I said, I can't promise you just one photo.
Oh, man, he's a taskmaster.
I said, I want to get one of you and her, and then right. one of you with your best friend, Adam or Alex, whatever the kid's name is, and his girlfriend. And, you know, and I want to do it where I turn the camera sideways and get a long one and stuff. I said, but listen, I said, Bernie, out of all the dads in the world, all the dads that go to your kid's school, I got to be, come on, I'm at least in the top five coolest dads. I said, I can't imagine, I said, do I embarrass you when I go out and I meet your friends? Generally, don't your friends think that I have a cool job? Don't your friends think I'm cool? He says, well, Dad, the real cool dad at school is the dad who's the president of the Discovery Channel or something like that.
Oh, God.
And I said, okay, well, listen, just for conversation's sake, why is that dad cooler than me? Would you feel more comfortable with him going into this girl's house? And he says, well, Dad, he's the dad that's getting the Expedition
limousine, yeah.
for his son. I said, this is for a kid in the ninth grade?
Right.
Yeah. And he said, yeah. And I said, well, you know what? I tell you what, maybe on the way to this girl's house, I'll drop you at that guy's house, and he can be your dad then, because I'm not getting you a limo. I'm going in to see this girl. Mm-hmm. I'm going to meet her family. I'm going to take your picture. And frankly, I'm going to churn the pants off everybody in the room. So what do you think about that?
Yeah.
So finally, he's resorted out of the fact that I'm coming in. So as we pull up to the house, I said, I pull the car over the side of the road. I say, now, real important, don't be offended. Give me a breath check.
Right.
So he goes, and it's nervous breath.
Acid breath.
I said, I'm here for you. Always right. here for you. So right there in the glove compartment. It's Listerine. Knock yourself out. He opens up the glove compartment. He says, Dad's wrong kind of Listerine.
Was it the regular kind?
That's the regular kind.
Yeah.
He says, I don't want to use it.
He's right about that.
Oh, well, no.
You didn't have the mint flavor? What the hell are you giving him to get medicine breath?
Well, no, the medicine breath goes away. The real Listerine works better than the mint Listerine.
That's right. That's true. Take it from someone who knows. I've never been a Listerine user. I don't like the stuff.
Take it from someone
who's a flax man.
Take it from someone who smokes a cigar on my way to the office every day and on my way home at night.
Uh-huh.
I got it.
You're right. You know,
nothing works better than Listerine.
When you get to the office and we kiss, I never notice any even trace of that. Your breath is always so sweet. It's actually a pleasure to kiss you.
So we pull off on the side of the road and we get out of the car and he says, okay. I'm gonna gargle with this. I said, fine, just open up the top and chug a little bit of it and then go gargle. He says, oh, but Dad, you put your mouth on this bottle.
Oh, please.
I said, hey, listen, Barty, hello, everything in that house has my germs all over it. I said, in case you don't know, I do kiss you. He says, yeah, but you don't kiss me on the lips. You just, like, kiss me on the head and stuff. I said, okay, then pour it into the little cup. So now we're off on the side of the damn road.
He is really putting you through the ringer
here. Well, he's very nervous.
Very uptight.
You know, and normally I'm kind of a pushover for my kid, to be honest with you, but I was, you know, making a fist.
Right.
And also, we didn't want to go on this thing with bad breath.
Mm-hmm.
So we go through the gargling thing, and then I pull up in front of my house. He goes, oh, Dad, it's 6:05. I said, right. We're supposed to be here at 6:15. I said, this is the way I work everything in my life. You're always 10 minutes early.
Absolutely.
I said, you never go wrong being 10 minutes early. He says, well, we can't go in now. I said, why can't we go in? He says, well, everybody else is not going to be here till 6:15. I said, so? I said, it's always best to be early. He says, no. So now what do we do now? After 3 hours of hurry, 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 we spend 15 minutes driving around the neighborhood.
I vacillate between taking your side and taking his side. I have to side with the boy on this one. Just to walk in like at 5 after or 10 after, you want to walk in right at 6:15, I suppose. You know what I mean? Just because you don't want to appear over anxious. I would have felt the same way
actually,
at his age.
The time of arrival was 6.
Okay.
And it had been a compromise.
Okay.
6:15 would be the cool time because they were all leaving for the dance.
Right.
6:30.
Okay, all right.
So, you know, we drive around the block, we're driving around the neighborhood. Finally, we circled the block 10 times, and I said, listen, I don't see...
Oh, so the time was 6. The prearranged time was 6.
Right.
No, okay.
I don't see the van of the other parents that are taking you to this thing. And frankly,
this is still down by the river.
I said, I'm not going to hide 2 blocks down
and wait for the other mom and dad to pull up with a van and then pull up. I said, where?
I understand you. As the parent, you kind of want to be in there first.
Yeah, I said, like it or not, we're pulling up now. And then we're driving up. He says, don't park in the driveway. I said, well, now, why can't I park in the driveway? He said, park on the street. And I said, now I'm in a pissing match. I said, no, well, I'm going to park in the driveway. And furthermore, I'm going to park in the middle of the driveway so nobody can park next to me. He's like, Dad, don't do that. I said, hey, if you don't watch it, I'm going to just back the car in and pull in backwards. Oh, don't embarrass me.
Drive right into the living room. Hi, everybody.
Don't worry. So, pull up. I just take up one side of the driveway.
Right.
We go to the door. I say, are you nervous? He says, yeah. I said, don't be nervous. You look great. You'll have a great time. And it's at that moment when I rang the doorbell and the girl answered the door. At that very moment, I realize, okay, he's not my little man anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because this girl that opens the door,
right?
I mean, a knockout. And dressed to the nines.
Dressed beautifully.
Yeah. I mean,
it had to be a pretty cool feeling, isn't it?
I mean, she had, I mean, her hair's up. She's got the long gown on.
Right.
And she's got the shawl thing that she...
How did it make you feel?
Weird. It weirded me out because the first thing she did, they opened the door. The first thing she did, she gave Bart a big hug. And Bart hugged her back. And I'm just standing there watching that. I'm thinking, okay, this is like the first step of... I'm losing him now. I'm losing him to the other side now. But then the girl, for all of Bart's complaining, she comes, before I could approach her, she comes up to me and says, hi, you know, looks me right in the eye.
Right.
Nice to meet you.
Uh-huh.
We shake hands. Then she said, my mom and dad are out of town.
Okay.
Right away I thought,
oh, dear.
Oh,
God.
Mom and dad are out of town. She goes, but.
Oh, that's scary.
My aunt and my uncle are here, and my mother's other sister are here.
Right.
And then from around the corner comes, like, a whole goddamn family. I mean, there's the mom and the dad, and they got little babies and stuff.
Were you a little bummed that the parents weren't there?
A little bit.
Right. Did you feel like, out of that, I mean, because I would feel, you know, it's just like, oh, okay, well,
you know. They've got, like, five kids.
Right.
So I guess when you've got five kids, you can't be there for
everything. And I'm sure they've gone through this probably a few more times than you
have. Right. And the people that were there, the sister and the husband and the other sister, they were very nice. They were very cool. So we talked to them for a while. Then we had a few real awkward moments because it was at that point that I was standing off in the corner of the living room talking to the sister and the brother, and they're holding the baby, and I'm looking at the baby, and Bart was standing next to the girl. Bart was just standing there with his hands in his pockets, giving me the look like, you know, give me the head shake, like, come on.
Go. Get out of here.
Go. Leave. And I look back at him, and I'm talking to this girl's aunt.
Right.
While I was talking to her, I'm looking at Bart, and I'm, at the same time, giving him no. I'm going like, no. No. And he's going, go. I go, no. So finally he just said, hey, Bart. I said, do you want to talk to me? And he said, no. I said, because I got the feeling he wanted to say something to me. I'm going to stay here for a while. As a matter of fact, how about some pictures? And then the girl's aunt and uncle, they went, oh, that's a great idea. We've got cameras, too.
Right.
So as soon as Bart saw that I was not the only crazy parent that wanted to take pictures...
It was perfectly acceptable.
Then he's cool. And then here's another weird moment, because we're standing there, and they're standing in front of the fireplace. Go, okay. Smile. And right away, they slip their arms around each other.
Yeah.
Right? So they're standing like a regular old couple.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just looking at this for a moment. I'm thinking... And there's a part of me that just wants to say, both of you kids, just stand up straight and put your arms behind you. Because, you know, I mean, they got their arms around each other.
Well, that's the prom.
I know it is homecoming.
Sure.
I know it is. And then we got done with those pictures. The other mom and dad show up, and the other girl's mom show up. So now there's a group.
Right.
Now I'm feeling safety in numbers.
Sure, you got the other parents there.
Because now there's more adults than there are kids. And we go through the same thing again with everybody's got to take the picture. So now I'm taking the pictures of Bart and his girlfriend and Adam and his girlfriend and Alex and his girlfriend and all these kids. And finally, 6:30 comes. It's time to go. I say, okay, you know, adios. You know, don't do anything I wouldn't do.
So they're not going with you to the actual dance.
No, this has now been decided that the other parents are driving him to the dance because the other parents have a big van.
So it's three couples that are going?
And they were going to go pick up two more.
Ah, okay.
So a total of 10 kids.
Wow. Right.
So
My job is to come back to the house after the dance.
Okay.
Where they're all dropped off again. So I go out and I, you know, I kill 3 hours.
Right.
Go to the Montgomery Ball for a while.
Uh-huh.
Went to a car wash. Don't feel like the biggest loser in the world going to a self-serve car wash at 10:30 on Saturday night. I'm out on Rockville Pike, and I'm doing that. I'm trying to figure out how many quarters to put in to make the bubble stuff come out of the end of the that brush that's on a big, long stick.
That's sad.
Yeah, I know. It's pathetic.
Very sad.
I'm just washing my goddamn car, waiting for 11:30 to come. So, finally, 11:30 comes. I go to the house. I see the van is there. I think, great, I'm not here too early. I walk in, I see Bart, he says, hey, Dad, by now he's chilled. He's
right,
great.
He says,
we had a great time at the dance, things were great. Dad, can I spend the night at Alex's house? That's his friend who the mom and dad are there. And I say, sure, no problem. Keep in mind that I've just been out killing the last 3 hours.
And if you had known that, you would have...
could have been at home.
God,
I said, that's, you know, that's great. I'm glad he has friends. You want to do that? And, you know, the other mom and dad, Steve and Debbie, they say to me, no, we'd love
school,
to have
school, they
over.
Like that, Marin.
A lot of the kids are coming over. Then there's a moment of trepidation because they say to me, how would you like to come over? They say this to me. Why don't you come over and have some coffee? And this is a dad who I've played poker with on occasion.
Okay.
Dad Steve, and he says, yeah, hey, come on over. Maybe we'll get a card game going. And right away, I see Bart's eyes just getting real big, like, please, Dad, don't come over to their house.
Right,
please.
Right.
So I beg off, and I said, and rightfully so, because I said, well, you know, it's going on midnight.
Yeah.
And I've got to work tomorrow, because I have to do the Redskins thing.
True.
So I leave. I got home at 12:30, debated watching the fight, went to bed. Got up Sunday morning at 6:15.
7 hours of basic, you know.
I'm just waiting on
myself. Really relying on someone else's life completely.
Right. Wow. Yeah, more than that.
Right.
Because then I get up Sunday morning at 6:15 because I got to be ready to leave the house by 7:30 to drive out to Bum F,
right,
where they live, to pick him up so that I can bring him back home, then leave home to drive here to do the Redskins show by 11 o'clock on Sunday morning.
Jeez. Wow. My God.
And then when I got home at 1:30 yesterday afternoon, I walk in the door, and the first thing Bart says to me is, hey, Dad, let's go out and play ball. And I said, Bart, I'm just going to watch the games.
Right.
I am just going to watch the games now. And immediately I get the hang on from him.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, time out. Whose life have we been revolving around all weekend long?
Right.
I said, first it was, Dad, we got to go get new pants. Dad, we got to go get the flowers. Dad, can we please go to the movies? Dad, please take me and my girlfriend's out. Dad, please wait 3 hours to pick me up. Dad, can I spend the night at my friend's house? Dad, will you get up and pick me up tomorrow morning? Dad, I said, no more. No more. I said, the rest of the day, you know what today is? I'm going to lock myself in this room, mm-hmm, and I'm going to watch this football game. And if you want anything, you call Mommy. I said, and furthermore, why don't you call Mommy right now and tell Mommy to get her ass back home? I said, Mommy's up at the beach having a great time. And I'm here.
Right. Mommy wasn't there for the Saturday driving.
And so then Mommy got home. Things were cool. Barty went upstairs, took a nap. About 4 o'clock, he was chilled out. He came downstairs. We're watching the games together. About 5:30, my wife comes home. First thing I hear is, she goes, oh, my God. And I go, what? I go in the kitchen, and she goes, look at this. And, okay, there's a few dirty dishes,
right,
that have been piled up in the kitchen.
Well, you've been busy. You've been driving.
Very busy driving. First thing my wife makes me do is clean the kitchen. I am the biggest pussy in the world, pushed around by everybody constantly.
Yeah, well.
And I've been all weekend doing stuff for everybody else. But as soon as my wife comes home, oh, I bet this is her now. Hello.
Hey, Dad.
Hey, bud.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, thanks for the weekend. Thanks for the weekend.
You're welcome. Hey, let me talk to Mommy.
But that's not my girlfriend.
The girl that you took to the dance is not your girlfriend?
No.
Just a friend. Oh, did I say she was your girlfriend?
Yes.
All right. Well, I didn't mean to say that. I don't think I've said anything that's too embarrassing.
Mm-hmm. I'll talk about it when you get home.
Well, what have I said that has embarrassed you?
Mom wants to talk to you.
Okay.
Oh, Dad?
Yeah.
I mean, Uncle Mike?
Yes.
Did my mom tell you?
What's that?
That I had piano.
No, I told Uncle Mike you wanted to make that deal.
Right, but I couldn't because I had piano.
Okay, so you've decided Mike Alstott and Mark Brunell for Brad Johnson.
I'm 99.9%.
Oh, no. Heels off the table.
Marty, I told mommy called me and told me to.
Even though he's your boy, I know you might think I'm being harsh there, but that, you know, deal was, that was a half an hour window.
Yes.
You're pulling the trigger on that?
Yeah.
Okay, deal is done.
All right, good man.
Very good.
So that girl is not your girlfriend?
No.
Okay.
But she's cute.
Communist.
Pardon me?
No.
Pardon me?
Communist.
What? Communist. He called you a communist for some reason.
What? Now, why are you calling me a communist?
Because of your, never mind. I can't talk about it. I'll play it tonight.
What is he talking about?
I don't know. I tell you, man.
Socialist. Okay, Mom.
Socialist. It's a weird age. He's almost 15.
Yeah.
Almost 15.
See you, Mr. Marks.
Somehow calling you a commie, I'm not sure.
Hello?
Why is he calling me a communist?
Well, that's his little cliche now for anyone who says something he doesn't like, so I don't know why.
Oh, all right.
All right,
boo-boo. He'll be calling you worse things, you know.
No, and I'm sure he does behind my back, for goodness sakes. Listen, I love you. That's all I wanted to say to you, I guess.
I love you, too.
And I didn't appreciate being yelled at to clean up that kitchen last night, but I did it like the good old obedient peasant that I am.
Well, Tigger, as long as we're being truthful, you know, I appreciated you putting your dishes in the dishwasher. I know it's hard labor, and I know that you don't like to do it, but I appreciate when I came home that when I said something, you did that. But, of course, you know, I had to take them out and scrub them and then re-put them back in. So it was really just the point.
Honey, why do we have a dishwasher?
A dishwasher will not get dried on crud off a dish. It won't work that way. And if you would like to eat off the dishes that come out of the dishwasher like that, you're more than welcome.
No problem. No problem. Listen,
no problem.
I just had the stressed out weekend, that's all.
Well, you know, that's my every week. But I understand, and I think you're a terrific dad.
Well, I love you. I'll see you later. I have to go now because Leah's on the line.
Okay, well, have your fantasy life. Very good.
I will. Thank
Goodbye.
You. Wife number three's on the line. Just wait till I start my new family with her.
Very good.
Leah's online. Let's do a break first.
Very good.
Before we talk to Leah and talk her.
Then we will talk to the star of King of Queens. It's a regular feature on this show now.
And all BS aside, yeah, I had a really great time with my kid. And
sounds like it. I actually was enjoying you listening to you talk about it because I think anybody that has kids, younger kids like I do, it's something that's going to be fun.
Yeah.
It sounds like fun. And I mean, if you're into it and you're into your kid like you are, that's a fun experience.
We reached the moment when that doorbell was answered and I saw that girl standing there and
right.
they hugged. It was like at that moment, really, I had one of those goddamn Hallmark moments.
Yeah. Yeah,
we said, you know what? Okay, I'm really losing him now.
I played golf with a guy down south one time who was just sitting there. We were talking about kids. And he's like, man, we're all in the same boat. We're just trying to keep them alive.
Oh, that's true, Mike. You don't know how true that is.
True. No, I understood it even when he said it to me back then.
Be glad that right now your biggest problem is taking your girls to pokey man.
That's right.
You just wait until there's a real man trying to pokey them.
I know. Oh, believe me, that's when I will buy the firearm.
Pokey man. Pokey man. Okay, we'll be back. We'll talk to Leo in uno momento.
This is they'll make you want to hump the floor. Don and Mike.
Oh, he's coming on this week, too, you know.
Oh, yeah.
He is. Our friend G. Gordon Liddy.
Got the calendar out, right?
Yeah, he's got his new calendar of, well, he won't say that they're naked girls, but
semi-nude.
They might as well be naked.
Sure, and that calendar gets better every year.
Girls with Guns.
Yep.
And G's coming by to plug that this week on the show. Also this week, Don Knotts.
Boo. Hey.
Also this week, Goldberg, rescheduled from last week.
Good.
Also, Strip Trivia on Wednesday, Las Vegas-style show on Thursday, getting my head shaved on Friday.
This is a full plate week.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mike, that's why J.J. McKay from KGUY in Portland says this is the greatest show on radio.
Oh, bless her heart.
Okay, now listen.
Is this really thick?
I'm telling you. First of all, I find it amazing to believe that an actual owner of a station would write a column about us that's positive.
We have to get hold of this, you know, and start using this kind of stuff. We have to seize this. We have to hold on to this. We have to wrap our arms around this.
I think that tomorrow we should call and make sure that this is an actual person and not just some kind of fictitious general manager.
And make sure, that she's talking about our show.
Okay, well, listen, here's the headlines. It's Portland. You know, radio talent gets a bad rap in America. Howard Stern once said that radio people were rated a little lower than car salesmen in this country. In Europe and other countries, radio talents are treated with respect and dignity. In the good old USA, our reward system is based on some idiot getting paid a dollar a week to fill out an Arbitron diary. To make matters worse, our superiors are those often so-called program directors that have gotten their job because they could never do an airship themselves.
Mm.
Then you get feedback from general managers, people who've moved up the food chain in this business because of their ability to sell a lot of car ads. It's no small wonder that air talent get burned out of this business, ending up emotional messes and frustrated with the whole system. I sigh when I watch the Actors Studio on Bravo Channel, where actors are applauded for their craft, wishing that radio could be more like that. But it's not, which is why I get so excited when talent are able to transcend this messy process and become radio gods.
Oh, my.
Good. I become even more pleased when I can have that talent on my radio station. The talent I'm referring to is one of the most perfect radio shows on the air today.
Oh, baby.
The Don and Mike Show.
Wow. I don't believe this is just, this is so foreign to us.
I love it. Keep it going, baby. I did not have any exposure to this show until about a year ago when I was kicking around the idea of doing a Guy Talk format. In listening to painful air checks of Howard Stern wannabes, I listened to Don and Mike and fell in love. Don and Mike have a chemistry that makes Mark and Brian seem like one-dimensional caricatures.
Mm-hmm.
I am totally addicted to these guys. It's no small wonder they're number one in Washington, D.C. Now I will try to explain why Don and Mike are the radio gods they are.
Man, oh man. Man, this sounds like it's going right into the PR file.
Sure.
Okay.
There you go. Now get set. This is okay. J.O. time.
Okay, very good.
And we each get our own little J.O. paragraph.
Okay,
here.
Very good.
One, they are real. These guys are seasoned pros that have worked at every aspect of the business and have probably been beaten down like the rest of us. However, they came to a place in their careers and lives where they were able to be true to themselves and basically tell all of the so-called experts in our field to F off and do what they do best. Yet they really do understand programming elements, they're masters at execution and phones, in knowing the essence of radio, Don and Mike take their show to a level that is extraordinary.
Oh, my
God, they are great. This has never happened. Okay, now here's my J.O. paragraph.
Okay, very good.
They are the best at phones. Don Geronimo is amazing with phones. Don is able to let you, the listener, know when the caller is a complete idiot while still being polite to that poor soul. There is no one in this business that is able to say thank you for calling and really able to mean you are a complete idiot better than Don. Don brings the regular callers like Tom the Monster, Dennis Murphy, and Homo Joe to a level of entertainment that makes Howard Stern seem like a panty wipe at a payphone by comparison.
Wow.
Okay, you ready for some J.O.?
Yes.
They are so talented. Mike O'Mara owns impressions and a command of language. His sense of timing and comedy is impeccable. I laugh out loud with his impersonations of James Garner, Jesse Ventura, and, of course, the convalescing Bob Barker trying to make it back on The Price is Right.
Wow.
Don is his perfect foil, knowing just the questions to ask to take Mike to that high level of comedy.
Oh, my God.
They have a command of sound on the air. They have sound effect drops, music, and recurring voices engineered so well. It is candy to the ears to listen to the opening of Don and Mike. Their use of sound totally sets up the mood and momentum of the show. Yet it is not overproduced, almost like a well-done college radio show. Newsman Buzz and the supporting cast make this show shine every day.
Nice.
My only beef is why a show this good is not getting cleared on more and bigger radio stations. Why is this show Westwood One's dirty little secret? When I sell advertising for my station Guy Talk, I just tell my potential advertisers to listen to this show. The response is always, this is great radio.
Mm-hmm.
While Howard Stern rants on about how he's the greatest radio personality on the air, Don and Mike quietly go about their business of being the greatest show on the radio today.
Oh, my God. Really? I enjoyed that.
Whoa, whoa.
Are you kidding me?
Wow. Oh. I am telling you, this is, you know, beat your meat on a toilet seat stuff. Beat your meat on a toilet seat. Give me something good to eat.
She likes you.
Excuse me.
She really likes you.
Give me a few moments here to collect myself. I've never had
and
something
then it says,
nice about
J.J. McKay is the owner of KGUY in Portland.
That's nice.
Meet J.J. McKay at the New Media Seminar in New York City on April 28th and 29th.
You know, it would be really, really tasteless for us to disagree with anything she says.
Well, frankly, you know, I don't think I've ever read Ken Stevens give a quote about as positive or negative in the press.
So he's right, you know, right there doing their jobs.
No, he doesn't say anything about it.
No, it's always just hum.
So we say thank you to J.J. McKay.
Hey, God bless you, J.J. Yeah. That's you have no idea how rare that is. And it's
great.
Awfully nice to have somebody along the network that feels that way about the show. That sure feels
Jesus
good.
Jesus Christ.
We've That's certainly nice. Gotten, you know, if you, it doesn't come close to equaling the groundswell of negative publicity that we've gotten on this show, but...
yeah, try going to Albuquerque sometime.
It's very good.
They don't love us there.
No, it's good to get something positive. It really is.
Oh, but listen, we hardly ever get anything nice, so, you
That's
know.
Nice. Save that.
Yeah, oh, no, got it, Mike.
Mike,
that's
a God.
Got it. Got to photocopy that.
It's terrific.
And at some point, we're going to have to call to make sure that that's a real person.
Let's see if it's a real human being.
Because there's still a part of me that thinks that somebody's screwing with us. Somebody like got a printing press. Like, we'll call this person. It's like, oh, this person never existed. No, this station? This station's not even on the air.
It's all lies. Lies!
You guys are not on in Portland. Who told you that? Westwood really? One?
I'm touched.
So that's nice. I mean, that's just nice, man.
It is. It's nice because, you know, when you get so little of it, really. And you know what we get? We get great feedback from our listeners. A lot of people, you know, call us every day and say they love the show. But it's sure nice to have somebody that's in the business write that kind of an article. That's,
right.
That's unprecedented. It's unheard of for this show, and it's terrific.
Did you hear that, Ken?
There you go. Yeah, show Ken that.
You hear that, Ken?
Has Ken seen that yet?
No, Ken can't read. Please. Ken is barely more evolved than Charles Broyhill is.
You're absolutely right about that.
He actually shot me in the stomach today with some kind of paper wad gun.
Yeah, he shot me too. It is a Nerf gun.
Yeah.
Who, Ken?
Ken
yes.
Stevens.
Playful Ken.
Firing at the employees.
Oh, that son of a gun. Who does he think he is?
Playful Ken with his apostle look out there. Shooting his Nerf gun at people.
Son of a bitch.
Unbelievable. In his corner, his perfect corner office that he visits like 3 hours a month.
It's time for Newsman Buzz.
Yeah.
And the other cast members. Let me see what it says. Newsman Buzz and the supporting cast who make this show shine every day.
Yay!
That's very nice.
What you got today, boy?
Well, we'll update the serious stuff for you, but I have to start out by telling you about artificially grown sex organs.
Oh, and Buzz, I have something to tell you.
Yes?
You've got bad breath, Buzz.
I'll get a mint.
All right, so you have news about artificially grown sex organs.
Well, yes, I do.
Okay, that's coming up. Hey, everybody, please stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
For news and comments.
News and comments.
On the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. That was very
flatteringly professional.
Jesus Christ.
This.
Before we go to Guy Birdley, we do have that lady, the general manager, the owner from the station in Portland that wrote that article about us. She just called off.
Oh, wow.
That's great. Let's see if she really exists. Hello?
Hello?
Are you J. McKay?
Yes, I cannot believe you read that on the air.
Oh, why not? Nobody ever writes anything good about us.
It's like the nicest thing that's ever been written about us. Are you kidding me?
You know, that is so true. You guys are so amazing.
Wow. Jesus Christ, how come you don't know more than one radio station?
How are you doing?
This is actually my second radio station, so...
Are you doing well? Like, are you going to maybe buy some more?
Yeah, I think I am.
Oh, fantastic.
All right, here's a real way you can guarantee you make yourself successful.
Yeah.
Change your last name to Karmazin.
Does that mean that I have to actually do them?
No! Oh, there you go. Well, you know, any way that you try to get to the top is fine with us.
I just, you know, and I hope you guys know, too, that I just, like, didn't write it because you're on a station that I own. It's just like, it's the best radio I've ever heard.
Oh, Christ, that's very nice, and we've never had anything as nice written about us, not even by those schmucks at Westwood One.
I mean, really, it is so rare for us to get anything like that, and it may, you know, we'd be lying if we said it didn't mean anything to us, because it does. It's very meaningful, and it's sweet, and we appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. And just, you know, and keep up. And don't you guys know, everything I wrote was true, isn't it?
Of course, yes, yes.
It is.
Yes, of course, 100%. Absolutely. As a matter of fact, that's pretty much our mantra that we say to each other each day before we go on the air.
Right before we walk into the studio, I look at Don and say, Don, you're great.
And Mike, you're great.
And we just walk in and do the show, and that's it. And then we both look at Buzz and say,
well, Buzz, you've got bad breath. You've got really, really bad
breath. You've got
breath.
Bad breath, Buzz.
Yeah.
Bad breath.
But when you think about it, I mean, can I talk about other talk show hosts?
Sure, I don't care.
Well, you know, like, for instance, it's like, I personally think that Tom Likas sucks.
I would agree with you.
It's
yeah, I've heard that.
It's a show. It's like this
this blobby guy who probably doesn't get laid, you know, telling guys how to get laid. It's a horrible show, you know. And then you've got, you know, you've got all these talk shows that are just like these angry guys talking about stuff. I mean, you guys, you've been in the business a long time. You really understand what radio is about. I've never heard sound used as well on any other show I've ever heard.
Well, all I can say to that is
that's right.
And, you should consider working for CBS. Wouldn't it be a pleasure to work for a general manager?
You know, actually, I told Larry Kahn I'd help him clear it. If they can get Howard Stern on the air on big stations, why haven't they gotten you guys on? I don't understand that.
Larry Kahn, incidentally, is the head schmo at Westwood One that's in charge of clearing our show.
That's right.
Which is why, as of this moment, D.C. is the biggest market that we're in.
Here.
Listen, J.J., thank you. That was a beautiful article. We truly thank you.
Oh, thank you, guys.
Okay.
Good night. Bye.
Man, oh, man, that's funny. Wonderful.
Anybody else think she sounded kind of hot?
Yeah, absolutely. I was thinking that during the whole time. Yeah.
You think
he's
so?
Like blobby guy telling guys how to get laid when he's not getting laid. I'm like, yeah, baby. Talk to me.
Baby.
Yes, baby.
Mm.
All right. Here we are getting a nice compliment. We'll turn it into that.
Do you know that? I'll tell you something. I worked for a lady once. There's not many, especially 25 years ago, there weren't many female managers in radio.
Right.
When I worked at the station in New York when I was 18, mm-hmm. the station 99X, the general manager that hired me, her name was Erica Farber.
Right.
And she, she still is beautiful today.
Mm-hmm.
But back then, this is 1977.
Right.
Just piece of it. And I was she was my boss, and uh-huh. she brought me to New York,
right.
paid me a lot of money, and gave me a 3-hour shift and a board op.
Yep.
And I mean, I was in love with her. And one night at a station function, she was standing next to me, and she put her arm around me, as she would any employee.
Right.
Okay? Like, say, hey, this is one of my guys, one of my disc jockeys.
Did you jump on her like a wild dog?
I leaned over and started to kiss her neck.
Oh.
And she said, she grabbed me by the back of my shirt.
Oh.
And she said, come here. We need to talk right now. She said, listen, I'm your boss. You ever do that again, you are fired.
Oh!
And
that'll be...
I thought you liked me.
That's sad.
Right.
Oh, man. I bet you were well behaved after that.
Oh, yes. Yes. She still is one of my best friends of the radio business.
She
works for R&R now.
I think I met her one time at a
convention. No, I introduced you to her. She's still a good-looking woman.
Very nice. Very nice.
Kind of looks like Diane Keaton a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but now, with this general manager here, I'd be much smoother with her.
Experience.
Much smoother with her.
Baby. Oh, baby. It's been a good day. Oh. Talking to all these ladies.
Beautiful.
It's just been fun.
Sure has.
Wonderful stuff.
I wonder if that lady from the station in Portland still gets her. Thank God.
You mean the lady we just talked to?
Yeah. I wonder how old she is.
Oh, of course. I don't know how old she is. She doesn't look that old.
Well, she's an owner of a major market radio station.
It's a young person's business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe so.
Absolutely.
I don't know. Well, we got to find out more about her.
Absolutely.
We got to get out to Portland. We got to see her.
Yeah. We have an ally.
I'd love
to go to that city.
We got to have a meeting with her.
I would love to go to that city. I'd love to do a remote out there.
Could you imagine what it would be like to go to a meeting with the general manager who actually dug the show, who was actually an ally, rather than the adversarial meetings we have with Ken?
Oh, absolutely.
We're extracting a bit of information from him. Like pulling the hairs out of a chia pet.
I will give you one caveat, though, that you realize that if we were working with her on a day-to-day basis, she would get to know us, and that might cause some difficulty.
Yes.
You know, when we're far away, it's easy to talk about how one. But the fact that
don't ruin my fantasy.
I'm sorry, but the fact that she appreciates our work is very, very gratifying. That's something that I don't think anybody around here does. I mean, I hate to say that. I don't want to sound like a prima donna, but I don't think anybody in this building,
nope,
really, really appreciates it. I really don't.
Absolutely not.
I mean.
Don and Mike Show. Find out what happens next tomorrow. Westwood One Entertainment.